All right, it's Joel Radio with Joel Fragamenti, your host for this hour and 3, 4, 5 hours.
Joel Radio. Not today.
No, probably not today, actually, but it's Joel. Corey Hall's over there. How you doing, Corey?
I sense a quick one coming up.
Well, what you need, Corey, is more things to distract you from the conversation we're about to have.
I've got a,
you have a computer open.
A
you
laptop,
have
a cell phone, and a magazine.
And a magazine, and it's just like, I mean, that's fine, I guess, but maybe not making for the best show. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. I mean, there's been movement in late night, Corey, late night.
Yes, sir.
The envious, you know, we think we've, once we think you have late night figured out, they go and fuck it up. They go and change it.
Yeah, there's been movement, all right. It's a bowel movement.
Well, we'll talk about everything that's going on in late night. Let me print out our agenda. That's something I failed to do. I mean, if I have a printout of it, it'll be easier.
Oh, okay. Rather than me looking at a computer. There's nothing like, I can look at this agenda that's right here on the screen.
No, because I'd like to look at you and have that conversation.
I got
and not
you. Right.
Turn away and look at my...
Well, I've got the agenda right here.
You do. Well, that's good. But... I don't know. I have a new computer, so this is computer 3 for this podcast. By the way,
wow,
we're that we've been around that long that now we have 3.
Yeah,
and now into the third.
We start. The first one was an Apple IIe.
Yes.
No, it was a. I'm sorry. It was a Tandy.
Yes, the show was stored on punch cards.
A Texas
Instrument.
And
I had a green screen monitor, and this is the third.
A Commodore. It was a Commodore.
It was a VIC 20. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is the third PC that I've used to produce this show, and I know you're going, well, I what was wrong with the old PC? And there really wasn't anything wrong with it other than, as far as making the show, it wasn't anything bad, but I know, and I this is the first show I've done on it.
Chock full of porn.
I know that it will, I'm not saying that's true or false, but but I do know that hopefully making the show will be a little bit quicker as far as when I'm done with it and all that stuff, so that'll be a good thing. But yeah, the benefits to it, you know, it was one of those things where when you get a... No, go ahead. Let's laugh about the chock full of porn thing. Let's laugh about that for about 90 minutes, and we'll say goodnight. Go ahead.
Joel's memoir, A Terabyte of Cum Shots, is going to be amazing.
Yes. Because Corey's never looked at pornography in his
never.
Life. Not, never. Never saw it.
No.
I have no idea what that is.
Wouldn't have that filth in my own home.
Well, here's what happens with the... You know, what I found was that the internet... itself was getting, the internet requires more.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's funny because you can get it like a tablet or mm-hmm. a phone. Like my phone, which is an LG G3, was running things like YouTube better than my PC.
Yes.
And the PC should be more powerful, but there's something about the way that things are written for mobile or the Windows version.
The mobile... can blow me.
No, but the mobile works good is what I'm saying. I think mobile versions, you get an iPad and you go to like a video and it just plays and it's fine. And everything's good.
But what frustrates me is I have to get an app for everything.
Well, you do have to get an app for everything. And with Windows 8, which is now what I'm using, actually Windows 8.1, they sort of made it where it would work like a tablet, but then you get... Of course, that's what you spend most of your time doing when you get a Windows mm-hmm. APC, is making it so it doesn't run that way, and it runs more like a traditional PC.
There's things
PC.
Like, so I have a Safari search feature on my iPhone.
Yes.
And I can search stuff. But then I get the Google search app.
Yes.
And then there's the Wikipedia app.
Well.
And you start clogging up your phone with apps, and then you got to update all those apps.
Well, that's true.
And then
true,
eventually you're out of memory.
Well, that's true with iPhone and stuff, because I know iPhones do fill up. And there's ways of, I took a friend's iPhone, and... the Facebook app was taking up 2 gigs of memory.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Like, not memory, like RAM memory, but storage. And I was like, I think this iPhone 4 has 4 gigs of storage or something on it.
Yeah, should I just put all that
in
the cloud?
And it was 2 gigs. Well, but the problem is Facebook essentially is the cloud. Why they're caching 2 gigs of data, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because Facebook shouldn't live on your local machine.
Sure, right.
It should all be in the cloud. But for some reason, it was 2 gigs.
Now you got me worried. I got to look
in the phone. No, you can look. If you go through your apps
on your iPhone.
I know,
I
got to
go through my settings.
And you can look through your cache data, and your Facebook will say it's 2 whatever. Because, you know, there's things like your photos that will live on your actual phone, and there's things like... videos that will live on your phone and your contacts, maybe. But everything else should be, you know, your apps, all that data should be syncing every time you open it and not be sitting. But apparently, if you look at lots of photos on Facebook, it caches them so you can scroll through them more quickly.
My Facebook's only taken up 464 megs.
But that's a lot. But 464 megs is like, of what?
I don't know.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's like a CD's worth of stuff.
Well, I have 4 gigs of podcasts on here.
Well, that too. Yeah, those you should get rid of. And those you cache those so you can play them offline. Yeah, your music, that kind of
thing. Well, because I listen to them in the car.
But anyway, my feeling was my PC was running stuff poorly, like YouTube and just, you know, anything where you go. So I said, let's go. And I was 2 OSs behind. I was using Windows Vista, which in building this PC, or not building it, but buying it and you know, going through getting it, you know, how I wanted it, I found out that Vista's on 2% of Windows machines in the world.
Yeah.
So that was a system that everybody had sort of
abandoned
anyway.
No one enjoyed
that
system.
Yeah, no one enjoyed it, and I had still been using it, and I said, let's get to the new thing. And they're doing Windows 10 in the fall, so I splurged on AP. But I actually got a pretty damn fast PC. Now, this is where you're going to tune out, and you're going to gloss over, but that's okay. For my nerds, and just so you know what I'm doing, working with here, it's an Intel Core i7 4770 with 12 gigs of DDR3.
I've never wanted.
I know,
a drop.
I know.
Remember that
an NVIDIA.
Remember the Star Trek computer drop sound.
650.
I wanted that so bad.
Video card, which is not a modern gaming card, but I don't know how much gaming I'm going to do on this thing. I did run a couple games just to see how it ran, and it seemed to work okay. About 30 frames a second, I was getting, which is not great, but it was okay. And that's it. Then that's all the PC talk.
Okay, good.
And let's move on. All right. Okay.
All right, there you go.
I just wanted to tell the nerds out there what I'm working with.
All right, fine.
And as far as doing this show, nothing's really changed as far as the software or the hardware. So who cares?
No, podcasting, the structure of it hasn't changed materially, really.
No, I mean, you could get like USB interfaces and USB mics and stuff and do it all that way. But there's, for me, the old school mixing board is probably the least troublesome to get, because you know, you can get what you do now is basically you get a breakout box, you plug all your mics and stuff into that, and then your mixer becomes a software mixer, meaning it's all on your screen and you adjust the volumes and stuff in there. And I'm going, why not? I got it right here. We're old school.
Analog equipment. I think a lot of guys use that setup.
Use this setup that we use.
Yeah, yeah.
The Behringer mixer.
I think it's pretty prevalent.
I think it's common, but
you know,
but
who uses this? The trivia, all the trivia hosts.
Oh yeah. They probably
all have these mixers.
Yeah, but
pretty much the exact same one.
Yeah, well, that's because this. You know why? Because this is the cheapest one.
Because it works,
and it does work. This thing, we are on our second mixer,
right?
But now third PC for Joel Radio.
Yes, sir. Congratulations. What do we just need a new? We needed a fourth mic input. Is that
well, the one that we originally bought only had 2 XLR mic inputs. Mm. Which means if you want to add more mics, they have to run over a quarter inch, and it's hard to balance them. So we can now do, you know, multiple mics, and they'll all sound about
the
same.
Single wonkiest intro we've done.
Well, whatever.
It's
I mean, it's long. People, okay.
All right.
Let's say goodnight then. I don't know.
That's what
my last 2 weeks of my life is getting a new PC, setting it up so I can do this show.
Well,
and everything else you want to do with it. And
there you go.
It's a big, big waste of time. But it's got to be done. Every 6 years, I think, I had that PC for 7 years.
Yeah, eventually you
have to upgrade
your technology.
So here we go. All right, let's get into it. Late night, let's talk about upgrades in late night, Corey. We're talking about upgrades.
Well, I'm waiting for some.
Well, James Corden's The Late Late Show with James Corden finally debuted on CBS.
Uh-huh.
After, I don't know, how many months did they do the fill-in, guys?
It was
3 months?
A good 2 months at least.
November, December, right? I mean, I think.
I want to say, yeah, I think...
I mean, Ferguson Widow went off before the holidays.
Ferguson went off before Christmas.
Yeah, so it's been...
So January, February, they did 2 full months of fill-ins.
And then James Corden came on. Now, James Corden, a lot of people are like, who was he? Now, he had a British sitcom that people apparently liked.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like the host of stuff. He was the host of The Brits. He was the host of various shows, you know, kind of one-off MC sort of...
Right.
A compere, you would say.
Would you?
That's what they would say. But so James Corden was sort of, and he's known over there for doing that. Here, people go, he's the fat guy from Into the Woods, right? That's what people knew him as.
If they knew him at all, because he's has a burgeoning film career.
Yeah.
Which that's going to be over since you're doing a talk show.
I don't know why, but
5 nights a
but
week.
But he did sort of, he comes from the world of chat shows, I guess. So, and apparently when he's done Letterman as a guest, he he's been very good. That's what the reviews tell me.
Well,
I don't remember seeing him on anything before this as far as a guest, but
James Corden was pretty much, I was tangentially aware of him.
Yeah.
That when they said his name as the replacement of, for Craig Ferguson, I literally had zero idea.
No, I didn't either. But I saw Into the Woods, which came out between the announcement and the debut.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, he was good in that. That movie wasn't great, but he was fine in it. And so I said, okay, let's go, let's do this. And the first one comes on. Now, Reggie Watts is the band leader.
Sure.
Reggie Watts is a fairly well-known, I would say, alt comedian. Would you say that about Reggie Watts?
Sure.
He certainly has that following. And the show comes on. He's definitely doing a different style than Ferguson, which I'm okay with. I don't think anyone should do that style.
Well, you weren't a big Ferguson fan.
You know, and I liked Craig Ferguson. In fact, you know, I should have seen Craig Ferguson live by now, but he delayed his concert. So there is a Craig Ferguson concert.
Because he's so busy doing the celebrity name game, which takes like 5 minutes to
I don't know, but now his concert's in June. It was supposed to be last week. But anyway.
Yeah.
But Corden comes on and he's doing, you know, he's not doing a monologue, which is news of the day. He's basically doing bits. Seems to do a lot of bits. Did Man on the Street bits.
Right.
A la Conan O'Brien, I would say. Because that's what I sort of feel the Corden show was in its first week. It's a lot of little bits taken from other shows cobbled together.
Right.
The guest panel, where the guests come out together and talk, it seems to be lifted from the Graham Norton show.
That's absolutely the style he's doing is a Graham Norton and or Jonathan Ross kind of style where they have a panel instead of individual sort of chapters.
And then he did bits, which reminded me of Conan, I think, or maybe Jimmy Kimmel, but I saw some of those. I watched three of last week's shows. I haven't seen the one this week that is there already. Again, the monologue was not the news, so he's letting Seth Meyers corner the market on the news of the day, political jokes, and that kind of stuff.
Well, what is James Corden's political opinion going to be about anything?
Oh, I don't know. But, I mean, he's not doing jokes about, you know, the Obama administration and this and that. He's
doing, when you have seven guys doing that, there's not enough.
Okay, so that's
I understand why.
I'm not judging. I'm just telling what he's doing without judgment at all. And then we'll talk. Then we'll give our opinion.
Okay.
Let me review the show for people who haven't seen it. And and there is some singing. He's doing some singing. He seems to enjoy doing that. I don't know how much dancing. I don't really see any dancing, but there
it's
was
a little
singing.
Bit of a well.
He drove around with Mariah Carey
have you
in
seen
her
him?
Car.
He doesn't look like he does a lot of dancing.
Well, whatever. Fat guys can dance too. I mean,
that's the
danced.
Name of my biography.
Fat guys can dance
too.
Good.
The Corey Hall story.
Terrific. That sounds bad. I'm sure mine will sell better with the title. But
a terabyte of cum shots.
You're the one. You're the one titling these things.
Yeah, I know.
So
fat guys can dance.
Guys can dance too. So anyway, Corden came on, and to me, my opinion. Okay, Corey. Well, first of all, Corey is blogging that show came on at about 12:37 a.m.
Yeah,
Corey, I believe, updated his Facebook at 12:37 and 15 seconds of the first James Corden show and gave us what will be his definitive all-time review, his unchanging, unflappable opinion of James Corden that he will not, under any circumstance, back down from or change. He's put it all on the line. He has put his reputation on the line.
I put all my chips
based on 10 seconds of the James Corden show.
And I'll tell you
what. What is your review?
I thought it was a hate crime. I think it's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
I think it makes me long to change the channel to Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
I hate this fucking marshmallow, poncy, Brit cunt.
Okay.
I hate him. I hate him. Well, I hate him. He came out and cried in his fucking intro monologue, Joel.
I don't think he
unforgivable!
First of all, I saw the intro monologue, and I don't believe he cried.
Got misty.
He talked about his parents in the crowd, and
all right. Okay, I know Mike. Okay, I know Dave Letterman brought his mom on for bits.
Right.
But have you ever heard anybody else talk about their fucking parents?
Well,
on
people
show?
Have their parents in the crowd. I think Conan's had his parents in the crowd.
Jesus
I mean, it's like,
Christ.
Okay, here's my problem with it. First of all, your definition that this is the worst thing of all time, that can't be true because Jimmy Fallon's on. And there's not a universe that I would want to watch Jimmy Fallon for 10 seconds do anything more than I'd rather have James Corden. If they're doing the same thing, I will take James Corden every time. I think as much as I need more time to tell you if I like it more or less than Craig Ferguson.
Okay.
But I didn't like the Craig Ferguson show as a thing generally. I would watch Ferguson when the guest was sitting down. Other than that, I didn't watch it because I never liked it when
I became
for the guest.
A fan of Ferguson. Now, no, okay, you're right. You're like, I'm unchanging. I'll never change.
No. I developed my opinion of Ferguson over time.
I think Ferguson changed his show over time.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
I think initially he tried to be a little bit more of a traditional talk show host, and he did more scripted bits where. Yeah. They would do sketches, and he would put on a silly wig, and it was very kind of Carson Mighty, Carson Art Players.
Yeah.
And he got away from that stuff a little bit. He used to do Aquaman, where he would put an Aquaman outfit on and read letters. And
I mean,
which was fine, but his show evolved, and he got loser. I really got on board with Ferguson when he started doing, and some people hated these shows, but he'd take the show on the road and do like taped. Like he went to Scotland,
okay,
and then
I remember that.
And then
he was running around
France,
with Kristen Bell, and that.
And I kind of really loved those. I thought they were weird
again,
and funny.
My opinion on Craig Ferguson was not that I hated that show ever, but just that I felt like he squandered his opportunity to get Letterman's job, and I felt that it was lazy. It was a lot of
it. Well,
I'm
yes.
good at him. I'm going to sit here and bullshit rather than putting a show together for you. James Corden, in the first week. Has completely abandoned it, where everything is produced, everything is scripted, everything is laid
out.
Because
he's an actor.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, I mean, at least for now, that's what they're going with. They're going with this high production thing versus the low production thing, Ferguson. Again, I like Craig Ferguson as a guy, but I found that the show, to me, was not interesting unless there was a guest there, okay?
Well, so he got, Ferguson also got a sidekick, and that changed everything, because... Before, he would just come out and do, like, a monologue for, like, forever. And then he got a guy to talk to. Now, granted, it was a robot skeleton.
Yeah, well, that didn't...
But at least there was a bit. At least he had someone to talk to.
Well, that was a bit, but that wasn't really a co-host in the classic sense.
He took the I don't care thing to a wild extreme.
Well,
Being off the cuff.
Sometimes I feel like
if
you don't care, I don't care. That's kind of the thing, too.
I get that opinion.
But, okay, so anyway, enough about Ferguson.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Based upon my opinion, I think the problem with James Corden right now, if there's a problem, is that, first of all, I disagree with you. I think he can be funny. I think his bits, which were not the news of the day, which have potential, I thought he did those well.
Yeah.
They didn't exceptionally make me laugh, but, you know, I'm around comedy all the time.
It were tough sells.
Yeah, but I think his him sitting and talking to the guests of the panel... I think has potential to be interesting. I'm not sure how. You know, some of it was Chris Pine and what's her name? The girl from Boyhood. They were good.
Patricia Arquette?
Patricia Arquette. Yeah, yeah. They were the panel, and I thought they were good together because they were separate. And, you know, Tom Hanks, Mila Kunis was okay. Didn't work well. I didn't see the Will Ferrell and... Kevin Hart, I think I missed that segment of the show when they were together.
Will Ferrell was on every show.
But Will Ferrell's bad on talk shows anyway. I'm not a Will Ferrell
guy.
So
he went on and did, came out in costume on all the shows.
Okay.
So Letterman, he was a leprechaun.
Okay.
And that one was actually okay because he talked about Letterman made him stay on
point.
He'll just come out and do his shtick if you don't. Letterman asked him about the SNL 40 and like what happened backstage and all that stuff. So that was relatively interesting.
Well, Letterman's a good interviewer. Like, we all know that.
But then he went on Conan, and he was dressed as Little Debbie.
Well,
or maybe it was Jimmy Fallon. I don't know what it was. But you know.
I think it was Jimmy Fallon.
He just did his bit.
Yeah, but so Corden, I think it has potential. I didn't love everything he did. Because I do feel like he is trying to do that Jimmy Fallon crap. And again, doing the Jimmy Fallon garbage.
Yes.
You know, doing that better than Jimmy Fallon seems to be an achievable goal.
Well,
so in a sense, you know, as much as I dump on Jimmy Fallon for playing charades, I think if somebody else did charades, it could be it can only be better than the way Jimmy does it. So my problem with Jimmy Fallon is not merely that of structure. It is also of performance. And my feeling is that Jimmy is awful, and James is a better performer than him. And therefore, I have to give the show a mild recommendation. And I'm not saying it's going to, you know. And as far as these shows, you know, whether he'll get canceled or something. Look, when the Magic Hour came on, we knew that Magic Johnson was going to be fired. When Chevy Chase came on and did that show, we knew that that thing wasn't going to last. I did not get that vibe at all from him. It was perfectly competent and entertaining, if that's what you're looking for. And therefore, I'm giving it a passable C-plus review, and there you go.
What I think I've realized is in the current glut of late-night shows, that I don't like the shows.
No, absolutely.
I don't like the format anymore. And James Corden made me really stop and think. Fallon's been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
Because Fallon cannot interview anyone.
No.
He can't ask a question.
No.
He can't actually engage in a... And Jimmy doesn't even seem like he's that stupid.
Yeah.
He seems to be aware of the culture, and he'll do all his little bits up front about Twitter and all that stuff, and he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But he seems, like, genetically incapable of, like, being focused and serious enough to do an interview in a way that's going to produce anything of interest. So instead, he has people play fucking beer pong.
Yeah, that's...
And inevitably, his solution is, let's have people act stupid.
Yeah.
So I wonder what the point of these goddamn talk shows even is anymore. Johnny Carson was why he was so famous for 30 years. And believe me, there's a lot of crap on Carson. If you watch the old... If you go back and watch those old tapes and watch his bits, his... Like I was saying, the Art Fern and the Mighty Carson Art Players and the Tea Time movie and all that shit. It's real shticky, bad stuff. And Carson knew it was bad and would always play off that it was bad. But what I think the Tonight Show was like a living room for the culture. Okay. Everybody came, they had a cigarette and a martini, and they were unwound a little bit. And it served a purpose back then. Either Johnny took the temperature of the public with whatever was in his monologue, and people would tune into the monologue and go, whoa, did you see what he said about Nixon or whatever? That served a function. I don't know what the fucking function is.
Well, the problem is Jimmy Fallon.
Right.
I guess then
Letterman came in and deconstructed the forum.
Right.
And said, look at this. This doesn't matter.
But I think the problem. Okay. So, James, just stay on the topic of James Corden.
Yes.
As much as you know, before we get off too far off the track. I just think that he's creating something that's a little bit different, and I think it needs something different. Seth Meyers' problem is that it's the fucking same show that everybody did, and everybody does.
Well, yes.
And Seth Meyers isn't going to sing and dance like Jimmy Fallon, and that's a good thing, and I'm fine with that.
I would say, Seth Meyers, unfortunately, until Colbert comes around, once Letterman leaves, Seth Meyers is the only one capable of actually conducting. Ted Cruz was on.
Yeah.
And Seth Meyers kind of hit him with a couple questions.
Okay.
That Ted Cruz wasn't thinking he was going to get on a comedy show. That's a great benefit. I know you can't be a dick and a hard ass like Letterman because nobody will come on your show. Although Letterman's managed to somehow work that out for 40 years where he gets celebrities on his show. Personally, my taste is I want people to come on the talk shows and get something interesting out of them.
Okay.
I want to learn something. I want people that are in power to be challenged. You'll never get that shit with James Corden. You'll never get that with Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
So the value of these shows is gone.
No, I don't
want to watch guys play with a beach ball.
No,
and bounce
but that's
nose.
What. Okay. First of all, that's what Jimmy Fallon does. Nobody cares. That's we're all on the same page now. Everybody listening, we can all agree. There's no dispute.
Because
there's
people who think he's cute.
No.
He's cute.
No,
Joel.
No.
The
people that like Jimmy Fallon don't watch the show. That's my number one thing.
They watch
people
a clip,
watch
and
a
they
clip
don't watch
later
the
on
thing.
YouTube, and they put it on Facebook. They watch about 30 seconds.
Because
you can't watch it. Here's what I believe. I believe the human body only can take so much. And I believe that if you try to watch a Jimmy Fallon show all the way through, that your body, and this is just something we're born with. It's in our DNA.
Uh-huh.
It is a human reflex.
Tell me, Dr. Phil.
That instinctively we turn the television, we try to prevent that from happening to us. It's such a downer. It's such a fucking waste of time that nobody can sit through that. So I know that they get a rating. I realize that people...
You're saying, okay, now the late night shows are generally a thing unlike other shows, where I'll just kind of leave them on.
No, I get, well, I think, actually, I think disagree with you that people leave them on. I think what people do with late night shows is they turn them on for 5 minutes, and then when they hit a commercial, they go to
bed.
Well,
now that there's seven of them, there used to be two shows.
Yeah.
Now there's seven, and you can flip and go, but what's Kimmel got on?
So, to me, you know, Fallon is just, I mean, don't even try to count, because then, you know.
Okay, well, Chelsea Handler's off.
Chelsea Handler's off. And then if you just want to include the network shows, there's five, right?
Yeah, there's so there's...
Two on NBC, two on
Fallon,
CBS.
Fallon, Myers,
Kimmel. And then you got Conan would be
Letterman
six.
Letterman and Corden.
And then Conan was six. Now, then you don't even start with Comedy Central. We'll talk about the Daily Show in a second. So my feeling is, you know, Jimmy Fallon, in my opinion, is just the worst, okay? So Corden, to me, I don't see that. And I think when Colbert comes on, I think Colbert is probably going to end up being more like Jimmy Fallon, because that seems to be what people want. Or at least that seems to be the temperature of the country, is we want singing and dancing because that's what people will put out. The Tom Hanks bit on the first James Corden.
Sure.
Where they redid all of the Tom Hanks movies in 8 minutes or whatever.
It's very Jimmy Fallon.
It's very Jimmy Fallon, and it's exactly what people want out of their talk shows. From listening to Twitter and Facebook and that kind of stuff, which I don't believe is accurate, but anyway, that's what they do.
Well,
I don't really believe that's what people want. I believe that's what people talk about the next day.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you make a show that's, you know, that is to be talked about the next day, I think you give up a little bit of what ultimately makes the show good long term. And I think that I think that if when James Corden did the Tom Hanks thing, he did that better than Jimmy Fallon would do it.
Mm-hmm.
If Jimmy Fallon did that bit would have been really annoying.
I think you're high.
Well, that's okay.
I hate this guy. Why don't you hate him?
Because he's not that. There's nothing for me to hate.
He's a pander bear.
There's nothing for me to hate.
Don't you hate cute and cuddly in a talk show host?
Okay, first of all, when I looked at when I was researching this for this show, I found lots of James Corden clips from England. You can find him,
and he's abrasive,
and he's fights with Patrick Stewart, and he was very funny. And
first of all, who fights with Patrick Stewart?
You have to see it.
But why would you fight with Patrick Stewart?
Because Patrick Stewart called him a name, and Patrick Stewart insulted him, and he came back. And,
okay, but all right.
And it's a pretty funny clip, him and Patrick Stewart.
Okay, first of all.
Well, listen, Patrick Stewart, we all know, because it's written on the wall of the Constitution of the United States, that Patrick Stewart is the greatest human being that ever lived. He's the coolest guy in the room, and everyone thinks he's the greatest. James Corden put him in his place, and it was very funny. I enjoyed what he did. He did a very ballsy thing.
I'm with Patrick Stewart. You are blowing my mind.
Well, I'm sorry.
I think I know a guy. I do a podcast for 10 years with him. I've known you for 15. Wait a minute. You can't possibly like this piece of shit.
I watch something. I have an opinion. I'm giving it. If my prediction was, you know, if it was, I'm going to sit here and just say I hate everything, I don't think the show would be interesting. I mean, I actually watch stuff and give my opinion. You go on Facebook after 30 seconds of the fucking show being on and go, this guy's face is too round. Bad show. Blah, blah, blah. Nobody agrees with you. I read the Facebook post that you put up, and most people went like, well, I don't know, Corey. It doesn't seem that bad. And you sat there and just dumped on the guy.
But this is...
When people don't agree with you, you say it louder and you say it more often, and it doesn't make it right.
Have we not said on the Fallon situation?
Yes.
That it's a gradual process, much like prohibition, you know what I'm saying, slavery, much like Jim Crow, mistakes that this country has made.
You're out here.
You know what I'm saying? Eventually, the just and the good, the arc of progress, the arc of history bends towards progress, but it's the slow arc. I screwed that quote up. I'm saying you and I have both been sitting here for months saying to everybody who won't listen, because no one's listening.
Oh boy!
That Fallon, but they just, I'm saying we're not affecting anyone's opinion. That Fallon's garbage. We've been trying
Fallon has a track record of suck.
All right,
has absolute track record
to me,
of sucking.
Now, okay, granted, I've only watched two episodes.
Yeah,
and the guy's only done five episodes, four episodes, whatever he's done.
Yeah.
So yes, that's a small sample size.
Yes,
I am very famous as a guy who shoots from the hip and makes a decision very quickly.
Yes.
It makes it difficult. My wife is driven nuts because we'll be at some cocktail party or something. I'll be like, I can't stand this person.
Yeah.
This woman's a complete idiot.
Sure.
and I'll be done with them. And everybody else will take this gradual process like it's the Senate, and they got to take the bill to the committee and debate it.
If I shoot for the hip. Okay,
but the guy came out and was
there's
like,
a difference.
Here's my parents, and I can't believe I have this show. Oopie doopie. Who's got a jelly baby? And I fucking hated him.
Well, that's
I wanted to run his face over with a tire.
I saw the exact same show you did, and I did not hate the guy. I just didn't. I'm not saying it's a great show, but I didn't hate
the guy. I had a visceral gut loathing of him.
But I don't. I mean, look, you're entitled to your opinion, right, Corey, and I'm not saying you. But it also there is an empiric level of suckiness. I know you're going, we could sit here and say everything's an opinion, okay? And it is, and you're entitled to your opinion, and your opinion, my opinion. I believe that Jimmy Fallon actually sucks. Again, look. If I had more time, and if it was feasible scientifically, I would build a machine that would tell us when something sucks.
Yeah.
But that doesn't exist. But, you know, I know show business. I know entertainment, okay? I know that Jimmy Fallon is bad at the job, okay? I think I know that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's open to opinion. I mean, you can like or dislike Jimmy Fallon. My feeling with him is that he is bad doing that job. And I feel like that is empirically, that is a black,
so,
white,
how do you,
on off switch sort
okay,
of thing.
So what is it about James Corden that you find
because
that he's
I
doing
don't
the job well?
I don't feel that, well, I don't know if he's doing the job well, but I don't sit there and, like, you know, I don't think the show is that bad.
Okay, well,
it's okay.
Well, that's you.
It's just okay. Why can't I?
Because my standards are more rigorous.
But your standard is not a standard based upon anything.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But it's not. So, it's
all right.
Okay. But you're
give me 2 minutes and I'll systematically.
Give me examples of things that he did that you didn't like.
I will explain to you.
Yeah.
Okay. He brought out Tom Hanks,
yes,
who is one of the best talk show guests ever.
Yes.
Tom Hanks, universally beloved. Mm-hmm. Is there a more beloved acting figure?
He's a beloved acting figure.
He's pretty much the modern Jimmy Stewart.
Without getting into superlatives, he is a renowned talk show guest and actor.
I'm not saying he can't make, I saw Larry Crown. It's not like he can't have mistakes.
Exactly. Okay,
and do bad. But the general perception of Tom Hanks by everybody,
we all know,
is he's
Tom
a very
Hanks
affable, likable
right
guy.
Sure.
And if you hear him on a talk show, any talk show he goes on, he's always good.
Yes.
He brings him out and makes him sit behind Mila Kunis's fucking pregnancy stories.
Okay.
Which were dull.
Okay.
And you've got, so this is basically what you're saying is you've got a tag team.
So you've got
a tag team. And your tag team is Randy Macho Man Savage in 1987. And he's partnered with, the Brooklyn Brawler. And the Brooklyn Brawler goes out there and wrestles 75% of the match.
Well, listen.
And you're sitting there going, tag in Savage!
First of all, that I'm not even going to address that. That's the stupidest thing I've ever done. Listen,
why was that a stupid thing?
Because it's not, that's the point is they do a panel discussion.
Okay, but.
And the panel discussion.
What is the benefit of the panel discussion, except it's the British way to do things?
It's a different way of doing it. It has potential.
The celebrities are a little unsettled.
To be good.
The celebrities are used to 40 years of doing a talk show.
The difference about doing a panel is that it can make guests, because, you know, when you have a guest and a host, mm-hmm, you have questions that are laid out ahead of time. You have things that are done. And when you have that X factor of that third person there, well, then it makes other things possible that could happen. I'm not saying that Tom Hanks' segment was great. I don't disagree with you that Tom Hanks has been better on other shows. But I think potentially that format is probably better than what the other shows are doing. At least it has the potential.
I didn't see anything Corden did that brought to the... Okay, I'll grant you that Graham Norton does that format.
Right.
I don't watch a lot of Graham Norton, but I've seen it, and sometimes it's funny.
But
I get why... And Jonathan Ross does that format, and Jonathan Ross is like the British Letterman, and he's actually pretty good at it. So I get why they do that format. I don't see anything Corden's bringing to the table to that, because it all seemed very gossipy, bitchy, little eighth grade bullshit.
Well, I guess my review, first of all, everyone that reviewed the show, I didn't read one scathing review of the James Corden show.
Well,
from the professional press, from the people that review it.
The guys who write for the New York Times and Variety, they both, okay.
It didn't get a rave from anybody. I'm not saying it did.
Okay, I'm just being more harsh. Right. That's what I am. That's what I do.
I understand that.
I am hardcore. I'm hardcore-y. I come at it. I'm just saying, I come at it strong. The guys at the New York Times have to, because they're writing at the fucking Gray Lady, have to say, be a little more measured and have to be a little more professional.
But I don't.
And they said, we don't see much in this. He's likable enough, but we don't see much in this that's really shocking or new or revelatory. And Corden is a real big question mark. It's basically this summarized.
Okay. But that's not what you said.
Well, I hate
But I'm
him.
Saying, but I don't know why you, I think your hatred of him.
Well,
I think maybe you took the temperature wrong. You want to be the first guy to hate this guy. And then everyone will hate him, and it will make you feel good because you were the first guy to hate him.
I don't think that's going to happen. I hope everybody comes around to that opinion on Fallon, because I think Fallon,
we've talked about that many times. I think we can all agree.
But I want to say that this guy, I just had a visceral reaction to that I didn't like.
Well, my opinion is that this
you
show,
and I both know comics that are like James Corden.
No, don't even. And I know where you're going, but
I'm not
going
to name names. I'm just going to say
there's a style of comedy that you and I don't like. You're completely off base.
How am I completely off base?
Because I feel like I've seen James Corden be very funny.
Right.
Not on that show, but James Corden has done stuff that was funny.
Okay.
And sort of mean. And I really liked what he did, and I think that he's a funnier guy than any of these guys who you're talking about, these energetic teddy bear comedians that we don't like, and I agree that we don't like them. I don't put him in that league at all, and I'm not saying that like this.
Well, that's the vibe I've gotten so far. But
you know, show one. Okay, then let's do this. Let's take everybody's first show that's ever hosted a talk show in the history of shows.
Right.
We'll judge them on their first show, and we'll decide who the greatest of all time is. Let's do that.
Well,
let's go to the Museum of Television
now,
and Radio.
Everybody said,
we'll get the first Johnny Carson show. We'll get the first Letterman show. We'll get the first Conan.
Okay,
we'll get the first Leno.
I'm going to shoot a couple.
We'll get the first that. And we'll all decide who the best guy is.
I'm going to shoot holes in that bigger than the back of Kennedy's head, which was an exit wound. What I'm going to say is this.
Yes.
You're full of shit on that. Watch Letterman's opening show from 1983.
I've seen the first Letterman, I think.
With Bill Murray.
Okay.
Terrific.
All right.
His first guest.
Okay.
He gets one of the funniest guys he can get.
Sure.
And he lets him run wild. He doesn't make him sit, bitch, next to Mila Kunis and talk about going to Bye Bye Baby.
First of all, that argument that I even stated... That's not fair. That's completely right. Well, I mean, look, my feeling is that I think that you at least can look at somebody and go, this has the potential to be good, or this has there are things in here that I like. They're different than other things. And you're saying there's nothing about that you like.
Mila Kunis and Tom Cruise pairing. The point of doing the panel is that potentially you'll get something different out of these people.
Sure.
Or they'll interact interesting.
And the guests will try to top one another because nobody wants to be
Those two didn't interact interestingly.
Okay, that's fine. But I did think that Chris Pine and Patricia Arquette did a fine job of that.
They were better slightly.
They were, yeah. I mean, it was fine. Chris Pine I could give two shits about, and I thought he was good on there. I mean, James Corden busted his chops for crying at the Oscars. I mean, there was stuff in that James Corden interview that was good.
To me personally, I know we're arguing over four shows the guy's done.
I know.
I hated him intensely. Maybe I'll come around and think he's
better. Listen,
maybe he'll relax because he's been in the job for a while and he'll start to.
But don't mistake look. You hated him, and I guess the argument isn't whether or not I liked it and you didn't. You hated it to the nth degree with a fiery passion,
right.
And I liked it with no enthusiasm whatsoever.
Well,
I liked it with no enthusiasm.
Well, you know what?
I had no enthusiasm.
I want to like something with
enthusiasm. But you know what? Stuff that I hate, I don't enthusiastically hate much. Jimmy Fallon, I enthusiastically hate. Right. It's awful television, and I hate it. But when stuff comes on that I don't like, I just sort of, you know.
You're preaching the Eightfold Path to Enlightenment. You're preaching the Mahayana, not the Hinayana. You're preaching the big wheel. I understand that.
No, it was just, I don't, no.
Look.
It's just, I can't sit here and speak in absolutes about a show and a guy who, you know, after right. one show, but there was nothing on, there's nothing he did on the one show that made me cringe or hate. When he sang in the car with Mariah Carey, that felt a little douchey to me, and it felt like that's okay. something I don't really want to watch right. on
the
a nightly
singing.
Basis. Yeah.
The singing.
Okay.
Generally, singing is not something you or I, as heterosexual middle-aged men, enjoy in a comedy performance.
I was going to say, Bruce Springsteen is doing it, I enjoy it.
Sure. Brian Wilson, go ahead and sing.
I'm just saying. Right.
Willie Nelson, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, in a comedy performance, I don't want a guy singing.
No.
His song that he did with the piano with
at
Reggie
the end
Watts,
of the first song?
Reggie Watts.
That was okay.
He and Reggie Watts do not appear to be people who have ever been in a room together.
Well, that was something. Yeah, I feel like Reggie Watts and him have a different energy, so I don't know. And I think of the two of them, I think Reggie Watts is probably, I think he's wrong for that show.
As we've said many times, the one brilliant thing Fallon did was get the Roots.
Yeah, the Roots gave him some legitimacy.
The Roots are not only a really good house band, they're an excellent house band, but he gets somebody to play off.
Yeah.
And your band needs to be like Paul Schaefer and like Max Weinberg 7 with, what is it, La Bamba now? No, it's the...
It's Jimmy Vivino.
Jimmy Vivino.
And the Basic Cable
the
Band.
Basic Cable Band.
Yeah.
But, he got that right.
Yeah.
I never get anything out of Jimmy Kimmel's interaction with his band.
That guy, whatever his name is.
Cleto and the Cleftones.
Cleto and the Cleetones. They can fuck off.
And then he's got the guy from the Mighty Mighty Boston.
Yeah,
there
Dickie
too.
Barrett is the announcer, yeah. But, yeah, no, I just can't sit there and speak that, you know, there was nothing James Corden did that bothered me.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of all of it, but, it was not unpleasant. It wasn't hard to watch. And for that, my review is, mild thumbs up.
I guess I'm
very
just...
Very mild thumbs up.
I guess I'm just, obviously, I grew up with him from day one. I'm a Letterman-nista.
We watch those fucking guest guys. Those guest guys. This is the test. This is the ultimate test, okay? We watched those guest guys for 2 months. Now, I didn't see all of them, but I tried to tune that in on a nightly basis.
I watched
at least
quite
for
a few
couple
of them.
Minutes.
Yes.
At least for a couple minutes, okay. Now, of those guys who
now, the difference between... Okay, the difference was when Craig Kilborn left.
Yeah.
After CBS told him to go pound sand when he wanted more money.
Yeah.
They actually had a competition.
Okay.
And so the replacement hosts for that were really auditioning.
Okay.
And they all got like a week.
Sure.
And D.L. Hughley got a week, and Michael Ian Black, and Ferguson, and I can't remember who else. But those were actually like competitions.
Right.
And you could visualize when Michael Ian Black was there what his show would be like.
Right.
You really were getting hodgepodge fill-ins. Guys did one night.
Right. I mean, like, Judd Apatow came on and didn't give a fuck.
Yes.
And Judd Apatow, I think, is funny, and I like listening to him as a guest and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Judd Apatow didn't give a fuck about that show and didn't try, okay? But the guys like Billy Gardell, who's a funny comic who I've worked with on the road, you know, Billy Gardell was a terrible late night talk show host. You know, these other guys, the other Big Bang, the fifth and sixth lead on Big Bang Theory, they gave a night to do these shows. They were not good. Most of these guys weren't good. And based on one show, I thought James Corden was better than almost all of those guys.
My favorite. Okay. Actually, you know who wasn't bad? Lauren Graham.
Lord, they gave Lauren Graham a night.
Lauren Graham had a test night.
Okay.
Whitney Cummings had a couple nights.
Yeah, those were bad
because she interviewed.
Regis did a night. It was terrible.
Okay, okay.
Regis did a couple nights. Regis is the worst. Okay. Let me just, we're not elaborating. Regis is the worst thing in the history of show business. Back to the topic at hand. Okay.
Joel.
Jimmy Fallon, here's the thing.
Your hate for, but see,
I couldn't.
You're getting mad at me for hating
Jimmy Fallon. I would watch Jimmy Fallon wash his car before I would watch Regis Philbin interview the president of the United States. You know what I mean? I hate Regis. Okay, I hate Regis more than anything.
Okay. But see, you hate Regis more than I do.
Yes.
I'm not in any under any circumstances saying Regis is good.
Right.
But I don't have a violent reaction. He was terrible on the Late Show.
They're terrible.
Because when he's okay talking to Kathy Lee about what he ate at Rao's, but when he actually had to be like a real talk show host, he fell apart.
Right.
And what happened? Letterman ran the show.
Yeah. Letterman came on and basically kind of goofed on Regis.
Letterman took over the yard and said, go polish my shoes.
Yeah.
And that's because that's what a talk show host should be.
All right.
I'm an old shriveled man. I'm going to eat some Werther's Originals and jerk off to Murder, She Wrote. What I'm saying is,
I think
a talk show host, Johnny Carson, David Letterman, even to a certain extent, Conan O'Brien, are never overmatched. They're always in charge. I don't get the feeling. I feel a kind of a sense of putting like softness and deference from James Corden.
Okay, well,
maybe he won't be that way.
Yeah,
but
I think anyone
should always fill the room first and get things out of the
anyone other. That is comfortable. Anyone that does that job will get more comfortable over time, unless you're Chevy Chase, and then you get broomed out anyway.
Well, Pat Sajak. You know, okay, how about this? How about for another show?
Yeah.
We rank the entire history of late night hosts. Right?
Yeah, we can do that right now.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's not. We've wasted 45 minutes into the show.
Absolute worst.
Let me.
But this is a long list.
Okay.
I'll go back to like Ross Schaefer. I'll go back. I'm a nerd.
No one wants that. Right. Let's move on. Here's the problem. Here's the thing
absolute
about late
worst.
Night.
Magic? Is Magic the absolute worst?
Probably.
All right.
Or Chevy. One of those guys. I mean, that's the. You remember Chevy because it was so bad, but they've
Thick
given
the
late
night.
Night shows. Okay. Right. Here's the thing. The talk show host, when you keep bringing up Johnny, here's my problem with that argument, is that that's dead. It is dead.
It's dead, and I'm sad about it.
It's dead, but you know what? If Jimmy Fallon is what modern talk shows are going to be...
Well, Corden's copying him.
But it's okay, because if somebody does that better, then that's okay. If Johnny Carson did Jack Parr better than Jack Parr did, then that's what we think of Jack Parr. We think that Jack Parr was this chump, and Johnny was the king, and maybe someone will come along and do what Jimmy's doing and make that interesting and fun.
You know what's funny?
My problem with Jimmy is not just that he has Lena Dunham and J.K. Simmons on, and they play Pictionary. You could do anything with J.K. Simmons and Lena Dunham that would be more interesting than play Pictionary. If you had those two people and you were there with them and said, let's do something, playing Pictionary would be about the least interesting thing that you could have those two people do.
Right.
Okay? So my problem is not just, but it's also that Jimmy is bad. If you were going to watch somebody play Pictionary with those two, if you have to, there's a gun to your head.
Jimmy's
not the guy
the
that you picked to even do that. So what I'm saying is, if James Corden is better than Jimmy Fallon at doing the Jimmy Fallon show, then I can't hold that against James Corden.
You know what? It's basically just a generational. And what's funny is Jimmy's my age.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Now Kimmel is much more in his delivery and pacing and tone Letterman-esque.
Absolutely. Yeah.
His material doesn't rise to the level, because
I
don't enjoy all his bits with Guillermo and.
Yeah. Unnecessary censorship.
He used to do what?
Uncle Frank died. Yeah, so.
Uncle Frank was legitimately
cousin
funny.
Sal's still around. But
cousin Sal, I never enjoy his.
Yeah, cousin
bits.
Sal. Yeah,
he does the goofy man on the street shit.
Yeah.
And they're never really that good.
No, those aren't.
I don't like Jimmy's bits, but I do like Jimmy as a host.
Sure. Yeah.
His monologues are all right, and his panel is good.
No, I think we both think Jimmy's funny. We both think Conan is funny. Conan's show is good, but it's unfortunately it's sort of relegated,
kind of lost in the
wilderness. It's kind of minor league at this point, unfortunately.
Right.
But
Conan is a Letterman disciple as well.
Conan
and
is
just
a Letterman
guy.
I like and Letterman that, is great. Listen.
I like that. There's a little bit of snark, a little bit of irony.
Yeah.
What's funny though, Conan, his bits are always harder edge than his talk show.
Yes. Yeah.
He's always nicer in the segments than
right.
he is.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and I think Kimmel with guests sometimes is a disappointment.
Kimmel at least can like seem to be kind of convivial and nice with it or whatever.
Yeah, Kimmel with guests is not great, unfortunately, and it's too bad.
He's not playing beer pong.
No, I think Kimmel's a very funny guy. If a guy was sitting at a desk talking to the television, I think Jimmy Kimmel's about as good as any of them.
Yeah.
I just think sometimes that show lets me down. Well, so, I mean, are we reviewing the show or reviewing the host? At some point, it's a little bit of both. And I feel like James Corden is probably better than that show right now. Or they're both.
I don't know.
They're
what
both
you're
middling.
Seeing. I just don't.
They're
know.
Both middling in.
I don't know what you're
okay.
seeing in that
All
guy.
Right.
All right.
All right.
Speaking of foreign upstarts who come and take our jobs, with little to no track record domestically.
Yes.
Let's talk about the next bozo to take over a late night show.
Yes, Trevor Noah is the host of The Daily Show.
Yeah. Awful. I haven't even. Okay, he's hasn't even, he's not going to do his show till we don't
okay,
know.
First
when.
Of all, here's my opinion on Trevor Noah. I don't know him. I don't know the guy. I don't know him.
Noah, I don't know who he is.
I mean, you know, if you told me my mailman was hosting The Daily Show, my opinion would be the same. I go, I don't know who this guy is. Yes. I don't know. He's a correspondent. The controversy.
I've only seen one of his segments.
Yeah.
That, you know, because I watch The Daily Show, but not every.
Okay.
I watch it maybe twice a week.
Yeah.
I don't watch every episode they do generally, and sometimes I will, but I missed his other bits. I think he's done about four pieces.
Okay.
Which, by the way, what if you're like Samantha Bee and you've been there for 8 years?
Yeah. See, I don't know The Daily Show at all. It's just never a show that I've watched.
But there's like, you know, correspondents that have been there for a long time.
Okay.
And you're like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like when the guy comes in and takes your job and you've been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, there are people that were very excited and like, yay, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you right now, those people are what I like to call bullshit artists.
Well,
actually is a Trevor Noah fan?
I don't know.
Who actually knows what his material? Okay, he's a South African comedian who is somewhat successful in England.
Okay.
No American knows who the fuck that guy
is. Well, I mean, again, as I say this about James Corden, it's hard to hate that. I don't know anything. My opinion on Trevor Noah,
I can't judge his show.
It's neutral.
He hasn't done a show.
It's completely neutral. Right. I don't know the guy. It's Joe. No. He's Joe Blow to me at this point.
Right.
I read his Twitter and I go, why not just broom this guy right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one's attached to this guy. Fire him. Did you read the tweet? Let me read the
tweet.
Right,
read the
tweet.
So he got in trouble. No. Okay.
That's my only thing now, I know about him is his Twitter.
Okay,
and when
they made the announcement on him, I started to go and watch the material and do research.
Okay.
Which is, you know, and I was not exactly impressed with his stand-up. I was not blown away.
Well, the tweets are... Okay, do you want the... these are the anti-Jew... Do you want the anti-Jewish tweets or do you want the South Africa is U.S. is worse than South Africa stuff? Actually, that's not tweets. That's based upon a segment of Daily Show where he was on.
He played chess with John and they showed Detroit.
Here's his. Now, this is a Jewish, I believe, a Jewish blog. A guy named David Steinberg wrote this. So.
Not the comedian David Steinberg.
Either that or he changed his headshot. This is a hunky David Steinberg. I'm guessing that's not that guy, but okay. Behind every successful rap billionaire is a double as rich Jewish man. Hashtag beats by dreidel. That was from May 2014.
All right. The problem with that joke is the construction of the sentence double as rich.
Well, that could be a colloquialism that, you know, some.
Maybe that's a South
Queens
African
English
colloquialism.
Or South African. Yeah, it could be.
South African. Okay.
No, let me read.
Come I can't on. Stand that accent.
Let me read. Xbox and PlayStation players are like Jews and Muslims. They are so similar, but they hate each other so much. Okay, well, that's not even a joke about Jews and Muslims. That's a joke about
Xbox players?
Yeah, that's not to me. I don't see any racist anything in there at all. It's a lame. Okay, the first joke, by the way, isn't funny. The second joke isn't funny. I agree. The first one is poorly written. The second one is better written, but. You know what I mean? If a guy came into comedy class with that joke.
You could make that premise work on stage, but he didn't make it work.
I mean, and granted, it's a tweet, and it's from 2012. Okay. Messi gets the ball, and the real players try to follow him, but Messi doesn't go. This is about soccer, Lionel Messi. Messi doesn't go down easy, just like Jewish chicks.
Yeah.
So he's talking about Messi and Jewish
girls? I would like to report, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say. I'm gonna give a shout out to my Shebrews out there. Okay? My Hebrews and my Shebrews.
Right.
As a guy who grew up in a Jewish neighborhood and dated several Jewish women, I will say that stereotype is false.
Okay. That's well and good.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying that.
But again, as a line, as a joke.
Yeah.
That's not really. That's like an old.
It's an old repurposed. Jewish women don't it's a repurposed. Is not true, by the way.
And then from 2009, Trevor Noah says, "Now this is not a joke. This is just a comment. I almost bumped a Jewish kid crossing the road. He didn't look before crossing, but I still would have felt so bad in my German car." I mean, I see what he's going for there, but that doesn't work either.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oh, the car is angry. The car hates him because he's German.
I watched a clip of him talking about Zambians drive like this.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. It was all about how Zambians are weird.
And then, let's see. These are some of the comments to that. Okay, those are basically the tweets that this guy has found that he doesn't like from him. And then apparently on
well, a lot of people went fishing through his Twitter feed.
Yeah, and that's a little unfair. That's like, I mean, look, people could go through 10 years of this show.
Oh God.
And we'll never get hired for anything ever.
If we
we'll never be.
You know, if we were actually in position for real jobs, we'd have to delete all the files.
Well, that's what I mean. There's no amount of scrutiny that you and I could stand up to when it comes to saying things mean or whatever. No. My problem with these tweets is that
the first three years of this show, we had drops that were N bombs.
Yes, exactly. Well, I don't know if we did that, but
yeah, we did.
I don't know. I don't remember those. But here's the point. Here's the thing about me, and I think I've said this on the show, and I've said this recently. I'm not offended. Here's what I'm not offended by. Words in the English language. There's nothing that you can say that offends me. I can't be offended. The jokes aren't good.
Yes.
And I think you can make jokes about anything. Mm-hmm. You can make jokes about dead babies. That could be funny.
Sure.
You can make jokes about Jews and Muslims. That could be funny. You can make jokes about 9/11 that are funny. You can make jokes about AIDS that are funny. And that's because it's things are well written. I understand how jokes work. Some jokes are written well and
Hold
they're
on,
clever.
Joel. How do jokes
good.
Work?
And I don't have time to explain all this.
Okay. All right.
What are you, Shaggy Two Dope?
Are they like magnets?
No. But I think there is a science to comedy.
No, absolutely. Okay.
But none of this looks like
that,
good comedy.
Okay,
this looks like this. According, if you told me this was the Twitter feed of a guy who's done two open mics,
you'd believe it.
I would go, oh, okay.
Okay. The joke about the athlete behind every success, was it a boxer? What did he say?
Is a double as rich Jewish man.
The joke is, behind every rap millionaire, there's a Jewish billionaire.
Yes.
Basic joke construction.
Well, first of all, stop for 1 second. What you just did was wrote that joke 100 times funnier.
Right.
You just said something off the cuff.
That's how the fucking joke
goes.
That was
funny because you're a funny comedian.
But I mean, he didn't get the... Right.
But I'm saying...
A double as rich?
But like,
the
but
fuck
like,
is that sentence?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm guessing that could be some colloquialism that, you know, that we don't get, and maybe that sounds good. But I mean, it's just... These things aren't funny, and that's what I worry about with this guy. Like, this guy's sense of humor seems like it's not all there. Based upon 7 tweets, this guy's not funny.
This is my speculation. Now, okay, obviously, he's never hosted an episode of The Daily Show. John Oliver... was prepared to take the show over.
Let me ask you this.
He replaced... Okay, so John Oliver did a summer of episodes.
And I'll let you talk into it. Did you know who John Oliver was before he got the show?
Well, yes, because he was on The Daily Show.
Okay, go ahead then.
Well, what I'm just saying is...
Okay, but I'm saying like...
As a regular watcher of The Daily
I'm
Show...
I'm comparing him to James Corden in the sense that...
Mm-hmm.
John Oliver came on. Nobody knew who he was.
John Oliver was,
and people fell in love with him. And
but he did it. What I'm saying is, John Oliver did it the right way.
Okay.
He was on The Daily Show for 4 years,
right?
And had become the way that show works. You don't watch it as much as I do.
No.
Okay. What happens is there's a bunch of correspondents. One of them becomes the star correspondent.
Okay. Yeah.
So like, it originally was like Brian Unger.
Okay.
But like Stephen Colbert became. Yeah. The kind of he got the biggest pop.
Sure.
It's like wrestling.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The guy starts in the undercard and then becomes the headliner.
Okay.
So Colbert became like the top guy. And then Carell was also really popular.
Okay.
Those guys, so many guys have gone off The Daily Show as being correspondents and taken that position and gone with it. Anyway, Colbert got the show because he was the top correspondent on Daily Show for years.
Yeah.
And then they gave him the time slot afterwards. Larry Wilmore was on The Daily Show for years.
All right.
So there's like a hierarchy there. This kid did four segments and they jumped the gun. Well, and everybody goes, well, what's... So John Oliver was on The Daily Show for years.
My theory of why they hired this guy, knowing...
I got a theory.
Why nothing about the show is that, first of all, if you're just going to have a guy, you know... I'm guessing they just didn't want a guy to come in and do Jon Stewart. And if you don't want a guy to come in and do Jon Stewart, and maybe that's, you could say that's what John Oliver does. I've seen a little bit of him. I know what he does. And you could say that John Oliver is kind of just doing Jon Stewart over on HBO now. And yeah, maybe they just don't want a guy doing that.
Well, if you want to keep if you want to keep the franchise intact and keep the retain the audience,
they'd rather
John Oliver, but they didn't. Yeah. John Oliver got stuck in a bad timing.
Yeah.
If he had stayed around another 6 months, he would have gotten The Daily Show.
Sure.
He got his own show on HBO. Good for him.
Yeah.
But he was in that weird thing before Colbert left.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and they could have signed John Oliver to a contract.
And said, you'll get
and
the
said,
show.
And said, you'll get the show. But they didn't want to do that.
Because
so,
then you've got this Conan situation.
Because my feeling is The Daily Show, I guess, you could think they could get whoever they want. You feel like they could say, Joel McHale, here's the show.
You think.
I don't know.
But you know what?
I don't know.
Joel McHale's a great name.
Right. If you said Joel McHale, The Daily Show.
Joel McHale would step in and host The Daily Show, and it would be fine.
But why not take... Okay, but then let me ask you this. Maybe the problem with Daily Show, and maybe the reason you end up with this guy, is because there is this weird hierarchy. And there is the Daily Show guys and the non-Daily Show guys. And maybe you shouldn't have that. Maybe Jon Stewart leaves and you broom out all of the fucking Jon Stewart correspondents.
I think you just start.
What's wrong with that?
Well, you
know. Reboot.
Well, okay. So the story is now I think what happened is that they ended up with Trevor Noah because the same reason they ended up with James Corden. It was an executive decision. The executives were like, they think.
Maybe.
What happened is the fucking Les Moonves. And in the case of Comedy Central, I can't think of whatever they're fucking.
Okay.
They think there's Doug Goodstein or what? No, what is it? Doug anyway? Not Doug Goodstein.
Doug Herzog. Yeah. Okay.
Doug Goodstein's on Stern. Anyway, they think they're smarter than us. They think they know talent.
Well,
they think they can pick fucking out of the bright blue sky. I hated the Jimmy Fallon pick when Lorne did it because I went, "Hey, Lorne, why don't you look outside of your fucking office?"
You know, I mean, look, the one that everyone's going to hold up is Conan, and everyone's trying to hit that. You know, Conan was a home run. It wasn't originally a home run, but in the long term, you look at the Conan and think, what a genius idea to give Conan the show. Okay,
well, it
worked out, and so everybody sort of wants that. They feel like maybe that's it. So maybe because these other guys, whether it be Joel McHale, there are people that hate Joel McHale.
Yes.
There are some people who will never watch Joel McHale do a television show. Trevor Noah doesn't have that baggage of that at all.
Exactly. No one knows.
So there's nothing negative there. So I think that's why these people go for unknowns. That's why they go for James Corden. That's why they go for... if you gave it to a guy... you gave Late Night to a guy from Big Bang Theory and you weren't a fan of Big Bang Theory, why would you ever watch that Late Night show?
Okay. So the... which they weren't because he was terrible.
I understand that, but I'm saying you just get a clean slate... and you just go, here's a guy no opinion on him at all.
So why didn't they give it to Chelsea Handler? Well, you're exactly right, because Chelsea Handler's audience has been defined and determined. And, and Comedy Central took a look at that and went, we don't really want
Netflix
her.
Well, Netflix had already signed her. But in the past, they could have
had
her.
When these jobs were open, they all said, where's Chelsea Handler getting these gigs?
Yeah.
And I think people knew what her audience was.
And I think
Trevor Noah and James Corden are cheap.
Yeah, that's the other thing. There's budgetary reasons for that. You know, why did Conan end up on TBS?
Well, because Fox didn't want to, they couldn't clear him. They didn't want to pay the money.
Nobody wants to pay Conan the money.
Right.
TBS is the only Conan, I'm sure Conan probably had an offer from every television station, every network, every fucking channel, every UHF station in Des Moines, Iowa would take Conan. Nobody would not give Conan a job, but for the money that Conan wants and the control Conan wants and the ownership of the show, TBS was the best fit for what he wanted. And that's why
they just gave him the best offer.
They gave him the best offer, I mean, Conan, I don't think anybody, I mean, aside from NBC, I mean, who wouldn't throw off the guy they have for Conan?
Well, I think also Conan thought TBS was appealing because he just gotten shell-shocked at NBC,
and he felt
TBS had less to lose not, you know what I mean?
And I think that's the problem with when you're looking for a new Daily Show host.
Yeah.
If you get a guy, and Jon Stewart, I'm sure, you know, over the years has gotten this amazing deal, probably making tons of money, has some control of that material, I would think, right? Jon Stewart, does Jon Stewart produce The Daily Show on Sunday? Is there some sort of co-production or some sort of? So yeah,
well,
so
he's got the nightly show, which
but
is
he's
his...
got all this stuff, and right. So, and I think they feel like we don't want to give this away. We don't want to give.
Well, the story
these
now is
that
Bill
deal.
Simmons, Bill Simmons from Grantland and ESPN,
yeah,
is reporting that they Comedy Central reached out to Louis C.K.
Okay,
and who didn't want to do it?
Of course,
they reached out to Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
Who I think would have probably been,
sure.
She obviously did Weekend Update and did that kind of thing and probably could do political
yeah.
comedy and would have been, that would have been a good
Absolutely.
Bet.
Absolutely.
She's a well-known name, big
yeah.
name. Amy Poehler told her to.
Right.
Amy Schumer, they also went
sure.
to.
Sure.
Amy Schumer said, I guess I think she can do movies is probably what she thought.
Well, she's got a movie coming out
right.
this summer.
Right. Which Corden apparently thought his film career was dead or something. I don't know why he did
that. You know, the Corden thing is weird. I don't get that, but I feel like this Daily Show... is they feel like if they give this to too big a name and they pay too much money for it, that it becomes less, it becomes worth less to Comedy Central. I think the value with Comedy Central is let's get in on the ground floor with somebody, and I think that's what they want, and I think that's why they picked this guy, and you know,
yeah,
the Daily Show audience, you know, let's face it, the Daily Show audience is guys like you.
Yeah, well,
it's older guys now.
I think they're
it's
making,
older
I think,
guys
well,
now.
No,
and, I
think,
mean,
I think
it's
Stewart
older
still
guys.
Gets
now.
A college
I
audience.
Understand he still gets a college audience, but he's not getting, you know, no. the college audience that he has now will be, you know what I'm saying? Like, he right. you got to get people, you know.
Well, the problem, the sad thing is the guys who would be best at that job are.
How old is this Trevor Noah guy?
32.
It's okay, so 31. Yeah, you get a 30-year-old guy, sort of, you know.
Yeah, they're getting a younger guy. They're getting a young, cute guy. I personally fucking hate. Say the African accent.
Okay.
It makes me crazy.
Sure.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Maybe I did New Zealand there. I don't know. But
I don't know.
It was horrible.
It's I hated what you just did. So whatever it
right?
is, I hate. Yeah.
Drives
Please don't
crazy.
Do it again. Yeah.
Right. It's this horrible fucking accent. Listen to Trevor Noah for 5 minutes.
I won't.
It's non-sight.
He'll be
it's
on.
It's awful.
He'll be
It's
on.
Fucking, I can't deal with it. So, on. I mean, that's enough for me.
Well, we will have our full review when he takes the air. Whenever
yeah, I can't
is.
Review a show it's not on.
Well, exactly.
I can
so,
review the higher. And to me, the hire seems to have been done on the cheap.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a guy, and I told you this on the phone the other day. I'm not one of these guys who sits there and goes, the new Batman is this guy, and you're outraged. And I don't understand that at all. In fact,
well, but that's the culture. The culture
it is the culture, but it's... But,
it's a culture
but,
of,
but,
I saw this first. Now, you know
hasn't
what it is?
History shown those people to be idiots?
Well, it's a culture.
Didn't Christian Bale prove those people to be idiots? Didn't you know what I'm saying? Didn't you know?
It's a culture of firsties.
Well, I know
that's what it's about.
But I feel like that's kind of you and James Corden. I mean, granted, you were reviewing the actual show and not just the casting decision.
I didn't
but
say
I
didn't
I,
say
I,
anything
I,
about when they. I said
yeah, okay, I know.
Well, when they hired him, I went,
but
who?
But this Trevor Noah guy. I mean, who knows?
The problem is, okay, I guess what it is you and I think of ourselves. As being smart about comedy,
mm-hmm.
and we know the buzz on guys.
Okay.
And we, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, okay, Michael Shea got a lot, had a
sure.
lot of buzz when he got hired on SNL.
Well,
and he was actually on The Daily Show
yeah.
for a minute.
Yeah.
And if Michael Shea had stuck around The Daily Show, he probably would have gotten that job.
They probably would have. They liked him.
Right. But he went and took the SNL gig.
Yeah.
So you and I get a little, we get a little inside info.
Well,
about,
I,
about
when
what's
I saw
going on.
Michael
so
Shea.
So when they said Trevor Noah, I'd heard
well,
no
I saw,
one talk about Trevor Noah.
All I knew about Michael Che is I saw him do stand-up once, and he was fantastic.
Yeah.
His stand-up was outstanding sure. when I saw it. I mean, he was on a show with Hannibal Buress. Hannibal Buress came out after Michael Che and couldn't follow him. That's how good
Che
Michael Che
up.
Was.
Right.
So, I mean, literally, it came on
right.
one, followed by
well,
the
you
other.
You and I also know
and Michael Che was better than Hannibal Buress,
I mean,
who's very funny, but Michael Che was better. And so when they hired Michael Che, I went like, well, there's a guy that I've seen that was awesome. I don't know this Trevor Noah guy. And then people that even watch Michael Che on SNL go, I don't get this Michael Che. So maybe Michael Che
well, Michael,
is not that
Michael
good.
Che has not done well
yeah, so I don't know.
On SNL.
Who knows anything? I tell you a guy's good and he sucks.
Well,
you tell me a guy sucks and he's good. Who fucking knows with these guys?
I will say that I am a little annoyed. I am what I think might be a problem for Noah, and we'll see what he does. And based on the stand-up I've seen.
Yes.
I don't really think that you get you can't really get an outsider to do that show.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
I don't want an okay.
You think that it's...
And people go, you're a bigot.
No,
foreigner do this?
No, yeah.
Now, Craig Ferguson's show, I get it. Craig Ferguson's Scottish. I get John Oliver's English. Yeah. But you know what? England and Scotland have a long established history of funny people.
Yes.
Name me five great South African comedians.
Well, without getting too nationalistic, you could argue that The Daily Show is the nightly news in a comedic form.
Right.
And having a South African present the American...
I just want a fucking American. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, with that show, I kind of get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certainly somebody like John Oliver blows that theory out of the water, but I get what you're saying. You sort of do need... You know, the NBC Nightly News is read by an American guy for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
If a British came on, and you can go watch BBC News or Sky News with a British guy,
uh-huh.
and it's fine news, but if it's presented as the ABC Nightly News or the NBC Nightly News, you really don't want a foreign guy doing that. And you could argue that The Daily Show is...
Top Gear is not hosted by Americans in England.
Right.
It's hosted... It's a British show.
It's a British show. It's hosted by Brits.
And, I mean, there's an American Top Gear, but...
There's an American Top Gear, but it's a different format anyway, so...
It's kind of the same.
Yeah, format. But it's different.
But anyway, but there's two different shows. And you know what? Comedy doesn't travel well.
Yeah, well, it's... Yeah, I mean, you could... I don't... You know, whatever. We'll see how this guy does.
Mm.
But I don't... I actually, with him... Because when you talk about Corden and the network shows, I feel like those guys... I always say this when a guy comes on, and I've said this about every guy that comes on. And I said this to you on the phone. James Corden, I know when that show is going to get canceled. When James Corden... It will cancel one or two ways. James Corden will die at the age of 99... And then they'll have to remove him as the host.
You know,
or somebody will say at some point, I think I've had enough of the show. I want to move on. Because in the history of the late night talk shows, again, they fire magic. That you know that syndication's harder. Those guys get fired.
Yeah.
But the network talk shows, as long as we've been alive, I believe two guys have gotten fired. Tom Snyder and
Craig Kilborn
and Conan. Although Conan technically walked away from the Tonight Show,
Craig Kilborn was basically fired.
He had a contract thing,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I mean I just my feeling is they just don't fire guys.
Pat Sajak.
Because my feeling with those shows is the money that the real money, the network only goes in the hole to put that show on the air. Once it's on the air, that thing prints money.
Well, maybe.
It prints money. They cost nothing to produce. They get these advertisers. They're going to get these movie companies to put their movie trailers on. That's why those shows exist anyway.
That's what they're for.
Is to show movie trailers. And the movie companies buy ads on them, and they have their guests on. Whenever you have a celebrity coming out, how many Get Hard spots did they buy on James Corden
mm-hmm.
the week that Will Ferrell and Kevin Arwen? They probably bought a million.
Well, Will Ferrell was on everything.
Okay, but they all probably bought Get Hard spots,
full
too.
Course press
on the show, so...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the thing prints money. So there's no having a better guy. If you're going to have to retool a show, that costs money. So James Corden will be on as long as he wants to be on. There's no fire in James Corden. I think with Daily Show, I think it could be a little more of a... I think they could probably, you know, there could be a little less stability with the cable show. But, you know...
Well, ask Arsenio how long these late-night shows
Well, again, Arsenio was syndicated.
He was syndicated, I know.
And syndication's tough because once the stations can drop a syndicated show, the network shows, they push a button and they're on. So, you know, there's really...
It's not, though, that... It's not much well, you can the, do. Nah, the affiliates have dropped shows in the past, too.
Yeah, but that's very, very rare.
Well, speaking of a guy who did get sacked from a television program...
No, you want to talk about Jeremy Clarkson?
Jeremy Clarkson, what do you think about him?
Every year we do our TV review, and I always say that one of the best shows on TV is Top Gear,
yes.
And I stand by that. And I believe the ratings bear it out. It is they always quote this, although I don't know what we'd be competition for, but the highest rated non-scripted television show in the world. I'm not even sure what is also in the department with that.
Well, Survivor, Amazing Race.
Yeah, but do those play?
There are British versions of those.
Play internationally.
Yeah, Top Gear has an international following.
But they're talking about that British Top Gear, not just Top Gear America, Top Gear France, Top mm-hmm. Gear. Whatever.
No, but we get
the British
Top
Gear. Yeah, we do get that, and we do have the American Top Gear as well. But I'm talking about the British Top Gear from BBC Two with Jeremy Clarkson, James May, Rich Mammoth.
Mythbusters.
Is the highest rated. And I go, okay, that's fine.
I wonder,
I get that.
I wonder, is Mythbusters got like franchises where they,
I don't know.
They have other versions of it?
I don't know.
Hmm. You know, I learned, speaking of a reality show, I have a friend who's on The Voice.
Okay.
Who's a good friend of mine who I went to high school with and, yeah. you know, still see occasionally. And he's a great guy. Super nice guy. Rooting for him. But I got to say, he's made me watch The Voice.
No, don't even.
Sweet Christ.
Don't even. Let's move on.
What's great is that, actually what's great is they put the clips up on that show pretty much.
Yeah.
So I can just watch his segment.
Yeah, I know. Listen, if you were on the, here's when I'm watching The Voice. If yeah. you're on it, I'm there.
Right.
Otherwise, I ain't watching.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying, my
this
friend,
guy better be your good friend, man, because you're, that's a sacrifice.
Well, it's a guy, I
to watch that garbage.
It's my high school buddy, yeah. Josh yep. Davis. Good guy. Love the guy. Okay. Love hanging. I saw him last year. Good guy. I got to sit there and watch Blake Shelton go yeehaw one more time.
Okay, I went Jeremy Clarkson. That was
all right. Back to Jeremy Clarkson.
So Jeremy Clarkson gets fired, and here's my feeling with that is that first of all they fired the guy. Apparently he punched the producer.
Well, that's a no-no.
You can't really do that. So as far as them firing Jeremy Clarkson, I get it. Mm-hmm. You got to fire the guy. But if you're Jeremy Clarkson. He is that show. I mean, if you know that show, if you don't know the show,
yeah, he's the
you
show.
Go, you just replace him like it's The Daily Show, or you replace mm-hmm. him like it's whatever. But I honestly feel like him.
He's pretty much the franchise.
He kind of is that show. I mean, even like Letterman, you can replace. I really feel like Jeremy Clarkson might be irreplaceable on that show.
Well, you know
and
what?
Now, I think they're going to replace
I
him.
I think Jon Stewart's kind of irreplaceable.
Well, okay. But.
Yeah.
I think people. Can do Daily Show. I mean, but didn't John Oliver prove that you can kind of do that?
Yeah.
My feeling is that what Jeremy Clarkson's going to end up doing, this is what's going to happen. Wherever Jeremy Clarkson wants to go, and I guarantee you, if he was fired at 4:59 p.m. on a Thursday, at 5 o'clock p.m., every television station, every production company in the world offered him a show. 1 minute later. He will go to a show. James May and Richard Hammond will follow him to that show. He's going to make a car show. The producers of Top Gear will all quit and go work on the Jeremy Clarkson show. Mm-hmm. So the show that we know as Top Gear will be called something else. It will be on a different station. BBC
Stick Shift BBC, with Jeremy Clarkson
and
on Sky TV.
Whatever. Sky will so one of these guys will hire him.
B Sky B. Present Stick Shift.
Well, you know, the rumors are that, you know, Netflix has offered him a show. The Sky. You know, apparently he writes, I don't know which paper. He writes for The Guardian or something. So he has a tie-in with Rupert Murdoch. So there's a possibility mm-hmm. that it could be Sky. It could be. So you know what I mean? It's that's what's going to happen to that show is he'll go somewhere. But everyone will go with him.
Okay, I understand.
That show will ultimately
BBC,
exist.
BBC is a government entity.
It is.
So I'm certain that they had procedures.
They did,
and
yes.
they have rules that you have to abide by and bylaws.
Yes,
but it's a dumb decision.
Well,
and I know he punched a guy.
He punched a guy,
but did he hurt him?
The guy went to the hospital.
Okay.
I mean,
Jeremy
I don't know. There's no video.
Jeremy Clarkson's
of him punching
a pretty
this
big
guy.
Dude.
He's a big dude, and he is a dick. We know that from the show.
I'm not advocating hitting anybody.
No, you're not.
But
I'm not either.
I'm going to advocate this. And this is maybe why I had this visceral gut reaction to James Corden.
Yeah.
And I've certainly been an abrasive prick, and a lot of people have had problems with me on a local level.
Yes.
And good for that. I'm tired of pussies.
Well,
I'm tired of sissy-ass fucking asshole producers who can't bring the star of the fucking show a hot meal.
I think that's what
star of the fucking
show. Right, and I agree. By the
way, he's the franchise. He makes untold millions of dollars from the goddamn BBC Corporation above and beyond their stupid television licenses.
He
brings advertising revenue. Fuck the producer in the fucking ear. He should get punched again.
I agree, but I think what happened was he said to the guy, I want a hot meal, and all you've got is cold cuts, and we're going to fire you. And then I think he called him Irish trash and punched him in the face. And those last two things I don't agree with. But yeah,
no,
the producer
Irish or trash. I'm Irish. Look.
The problem is you probably should have a hot meal ready for your star. But ultimately what's going to happen with this is BBC will do Top Gear with somebody else, and Jeremy Clarkson will start the Jeremy Clarkson show. The other guys, everyone will go with him. And you'll just have a new show.
All right.
And it's not that different from what happened with Conan. Conan went and made a show. And then they got Jimmy Fallon to replace.
Here's a list of.
And Jeremy Clarkson's show will never be as popular as what Top Gear is, it's not going to be what Top Gear is, and Top Gear will never be that. But I think Jeremy Clarkson will still do a show, and I'm with Jeremy.
Here's the here's a list of Jeremy Clarkson's.
This is every article.
Transgressions.
I you can read that if you want. I don't.
Viewers file complaints after Clarkson agrees with the audience member that a car is a bit gay. That's from 2006. Really? We're upset with that?
Somebody was.
BBC receives 500 complaints when Clarkson jokes that truck drivers murder prostitutes. Okay. You know.
Well, first of all, these I've seen pretty much all these shows. And everything's out of context. It's not these are not even.
He made a joke, and by the way, 500 complaints on a show that draws how many millions? 30 million people. Let's see.
No, it's
BBC
not, it's,
issues
it's,
a final
even,
warning.
I'm saying, yeah,
final warning after he claims he used the N-word while reciting "Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe."
Yeah, and I've heard that clip, and it's not. He did have to apologize for that. I don't know what he said or didn't say. It was sort of hard. It was a weird clip, you know, whatever. But I'm saying, don't even read those because all of that is like people took things out of context.
Clarkson and his presenters flee Argentina after a crowd throws rocks at their vehicle.
No, that was from the season.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, that was from the season. But no, that's what I'm saying. Like,
but okay, Jeremy Clarkson is popular because why, Joel?
Well, he's opinionated
because he's a big loudmouth who has an opinion.
But he's funny.
Now, okay,
the closest equivalent to Jeremy Clarkson, if you don't know him, you don't watch him. He is sort of Howard Stern. About cars, and but the show is about cars. But when they do the news segment, he does, and when he goes to America, and he says Americans are all fat and all this stuff, and he does things that are controversial. But he's doing it. He Jeremy Clarkson is always trying to be funny. The goal of him is to be funny. That's his goal.
I'll tell you what. Now, this is what you said, Howard, and somebody gets offended by what Howard says all the time. I'm offended that Howard's stopped saying some of the offensive things he used to say because his show is getting weak in his old age.
Yeah.
Don't expect a guy who's famous for being outspoken and controversial. Like, somebody puts up something Rush Limbaugh said every other day.
Right.
And they go, I can't believe this asshole said that. And I went, I stopped doing that a long time ago. I used to be offended and insulted by what he said. But I long ago went, that's what Limbaugh does.
But the problem with all of this is when the time for people to get rid of somebody, is when the actual fans of the show are offended with the thing that the guy said or the thing that the guy did.
That's never what happens.
And that's never what happens. It's always outside people looking in going, ooh, I found this and this guy did this.
Part of the fucking problem.
That's what I'm saying. When you read that list of Jeremy Clarkson transgressions.
Yeah.
It just doesn't mean anything because everything's out of context.
Well, part of the fucking problem is Twitter.
Oh, absolutely.
They're the worst.
Right, yeah. Twitter's horrible.
They can go right to
everybody,
fucking
if you love free speech and you love if you love free speech and you love comedy, we should all get off Twitter.
Just saw examples of what they're trying to do to a guy who you know, is a comic. Right.
You believe in, if you want equal treatment of races, if you want equal treatment of gays and straights and sexual orientation, you can love all of these things. But here's what I love more than all of those things. Mm-hmm. I love freedom. And
here comes the Sean Hannity pitch.
When you take away somebody's freedom, that is the most egregious thing that you can do. And the freedom of someone to speak is every bit as equal as the freedom to people to get married or the freedom to someone to find employment. They're all equal. Freedoms are equal. And to take away, but people will trump somebody's freedom of speech in order to have their own freedom, and it makes no sense.
No,
it makes no sense.
Well, people are dumb.
But it makes no sense. But people that want,
the 24/7 outrage machine.
Okay.
Is damaging to
people
everybody.
That are against. Okay, people that want gay marriage will trade. They'll say, okay, here's the thing: every gay person can get married.
Yeah.
Here's the trade-off: you can't make fun of gay people anymore. People would be for that. A law in America right now. Put it to a vote. The poll is today. It's illegal to make fun of gay people. It's punishable by prison. That will pass. Right now, in America, in 2015, that will pass as a law.
Yeah, well,
as
yeah.
a law in this country, yeah, the police will come to your
gay
home.
Gay rights are so protected.
And if you make fun of a gay person.
Gay rights are so protected and universal that Indiana
if
passed
you make
its
fun of a
religious
gay person,
discrimination bill.
They
right.
will they will send you to jail. If you put that to a vote, people will vote for it. And that makes no sense to me. People don't
okay, where
understand.
Did you, where did you pull that from?
People don't understand the Constitution. People don't understand the law.
What? Now, who said that? Was it Red Eye? Was it
No. This is my
Lou
own.
Dobbs tonight.
This is my opinion.
Was it?
Do you know that
Hannity?
I studied constitutional law in college, Corey?
Wow.
Well, I did.
All right.
And my point is that the freedom of speech.
Yeah.
The courts have said that there are a few instances when speech should be curtailed. When it actually is illegal to, you can't mm-hmm. yell fire in a crowded theater. There's things you can't threaten somebody in a public forum. Those kind of things. Okay, those things are illegal. We've defined that. But let's start defining everything. If you left it to the public at large, Jeremy Clarkson, that stuff would be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
What he says, you can't say the truck drivers kill prostitutes. There would be a law about that.
Well, yeah,
and,
sure.
It's all ridiculous. It's all silliness. And I understand people being emotional about it, but Twitter is where you can have control over that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Twitter is where we can shut people down. We can get people fired. We can throw people off Twitter. We can throw people off this. We can do this, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are doing. So let's just give them a little more power.
You know,
if you give people, how much power do you want to give the public?
I think it's
and my feeling is give the public zero power. Your voice is meaningless.
I think the problem
your group, a million people speaking in unison means nothing. It's equal to the one guy. Everything's the same.
Okay,
that is true freedom.
I would say that there is something to be said for public opinion, and when something isn't right.
Yes.
That's true. I think the problem with Twitter is it's an instantaneous reaction.
It is.
It's venomous. It's quick. It's everybody venting all of the shit that they have that goes wrong in their life.
Sure.
In an instant. And now, it used to be that fucking weirdos would write in letters and send in.
Sure.
And there'd be controversies and people would get fired.
Mm-hmm.
And the Smothers Brothers was the top rated
sure.
show. And CBS pulled it because they ruffled the feathers of the network too
yeah.
much. It wasn't anything to do with the public not liking the show. There were
no.
people that thought it was controversial, but
sure.
what happened was Tommy Smothers or Dick Smothers was Tommy. Tommy was the one who was the behind the scenes. He fought with the network presidents
sure.
too much. And eventually they fired him because
well,
so I'm sure Jeremy Clarkson pissed off somebody at the BBC.
I think
always a dick waving contest.
The BBC is unique in that it actually is the government.
Right.
And in America, we don't have that. We don't have government television.
No,
so
okay, like CBS.
Yeah.
Right? Has a relationship with Washington. And the Smothers Brothers were doing stuff. And the White House would call and go, these guys are hammering us. And they'd get on the case of Paley. Or whoever, you know what I mean?
It's
different, not direct, but
the
there's
BBC
influence.
Is a different scenario. I mean, like, look. When Charlie Sheen pissed off Chuck Lorre, they fired Charlie Sheen, okay? That's pretty analogous, I think, to what
yes.
Jeremy Clarkson did. But the difference is when you're a government, there is a higher standard for government things. You know, I mean, if somebody...
Well, what's surprising is occasionally executives and producers and behind-the-scenes people and management of companies
right.
will make a decision which is economically disastrous for themselves, like fire Jeremy Clarkson or fire Charlie Sheen. And they'll sabotage what's working because the guy is such an asshole.
Well, okay, but
and that'll happen sometimes.
Yeah, I understand that, but just going back to Twitter, you know, listen, everybody on Twitter, they're outraged until you know what I mean. There is no real outrage; it's all phony. And I wish that people understood that that's phony. And I wish that people would kowtow. I wish people wouldn't kowtow.
You remember how
stuff.
Upset I got over the cancel Colbert?
Yes.
That girl tried to gin
yes.
up a controversy
yes.
that went nowhere
exactly,
and got drowned
well,
out.
Well, that's an example of one that failed.
Well, whenever somebody caves to the pressure,
yeah.
I feel like they're really...
Yeah, early. No one should cave. And granted...
Then when they fired Gilbert Gottfried over the Affleck comment...
Absolutely.
5 days after he made those comments...
Yes.
Oh, excuse me, he made those jokes. Because yeah. Gilbert himself said, whenever they want to screw you, mm-hmm. they say comments and remarks.
Yeah.
They don't say a joke.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So though he made jokes.
Right. And by the way, there is a difference.
I didn't think Trevor Noah's jokes were funny.
No.
But I'm not going to be mad at him for making jokes on Twitter.
And that's the other thing. A joke is every bit as protected as every other kind of speech. But a joke is not a comment. A joke is not a statement.
A joke is a dream your heart makes. Yeah.
Is that an actual song?
The dream is a wish your heart makes.
The joke. Okay. You made a joke of a song that I didn't get to begin with. Okay, here's the point. The point is that a joke is just a joke. And when you say, but when it says Jeremy Clarkson's remarks about truck drivers, that was a joke.
It's not a remark.
It's a joke. Yeah, it's a joke. And you know what? Again, when you talk about, here's another thing that
that's an insidious Orwellian
here's
thought police bullshit.
When you label a joke as a comment or a remark. Here's what I'll tell you.
That's a problem.
This might sound different. I want a department of jokes. I know, not to sound like Yakov Smirnoff, but let's get a department of jokes.
That was an actual thing.
Soviet
Union.
No. Here's
that one. Was department of joke.
But here's the thing. Okay, Corey.
Jokes make you department.
Right, please, for the sake of our listeners, stop. Okay, listen, here's the point.
Excuse me for trying to spice this
shit up.
No,
please.
Let's talk about your motherboard, motherfucker.
Let's do how many gigs? Let's do hacky Yakov Smirnoffs all day. Okay. But much like decisions about comedy should be handled by people who understand comedy. And I will say this.
Which is what I hated about the Corden thing.
Because
I felt he was hired by a...
I felt like he was hired by a focused panel group of executives. Comedy... People don't understand comedy, okay? They don't. And just because you enjoy comedy... Look, I don't understand music. I can enjoy music. Uh-huh. I'm not, if there was a music police, I don't want to be on that. But my point is that you can't... comedy is not understood by everybody. People don't understand astrophysics.
Right.
They know when they throw something in the air, it'll fall to the ground. But you don't understand that.
I know a DJ.
Comedy... I'll let you talk in a second. Let people who understand comedy judge comedy. Okay?
Right.
If something doesn't make you laugh, if it was told, here's what the bar should be. If something is told with the intention to make you laugh, it can't be judged as being offensive. That would be my law.
Right.
I'm not for laws, but here's the law. You want a law, that's a good law. If someone is intending to make you laugh with something, no matter how outrageous it sounds, no matter that you can't be offended by it.
That's what I live by. I would assume what would happen is that guys like the late great Fred Phelps would claim that he was doing satire when he would protest the funeral of a veteran.
You can do that. You can do that.
Now there's no joke there. He's not making a joke.
No,
they're deadly serious.
He wouldn't say that.
Right. Because they don't think they're making a joke.
No, I mean, that's an extreme example of it. But it
would then be used to hide
Trevor Noah's thing about Jews and they don't go... That's... You're making an intention to be... Now, look, I called him out on those jokes not being good. But those jokes not being good and the intention of the joke... The intention of the joke was not to offend.
Now you're getting into a constitutional area of intent.
Sure.
In the law, you're talking about motive and intent. Right? Any conviction for murder is motive.
The free speech laws that exist, their intent does go to that.
Right.
In certain cases.
In a crime, motive is a factor in the amount of, in the degree manslaughter. Manslaughter and first degree.
Speech is all intent.
But you would say that you've got to say if it's a joke, the intent is not to say the direct hurtful thing.
No, but the problem with that argument is that speech is not a thing. It's not a tangible thing like a violent crime.
Is a joke a tangible thing?
A joke is speech.
Uh-huh.
Speech is not a crime. You know, I don't agree with hate crime laws.
Does speech create
repercussions? I don't agree with hate crime laws in America.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that is speech.
Well, hate crimes are pointless. It's a pointless thing to me because it's not going to deter anybody. Like, you think, hey, Ray Bob. Should we lynch this old coon?
Right, but if you go, let me give you an example. If you shoot me with a gun, that's a crime. It's punishable by something.
Right.
If you go, I'm going to kill this fat dago. that could be considered a hate crime. Right. And you, for the same thing, you would get a longer sentence.
An angry mom
by calling me
would not beat your grandfather off his burrow with a stick.
Yeah.
For being a greasy wop, because they were like, is this going to be a hate crime or just a regular crime?
No, but that's
what is that? That's a dumb.
Hate crimes are stupid because they're speech. Speech is not.
It doesn't.
Comedy.
Anybody.
Comedy is a form of. Comedy is not all speech. You can't argue that all speech is comedy, but there is a thing with comedy, and there are people that genuinely don't know what comedy is, and there are people that don't know.
They're called South Africans.
Well, whatever. But there are people.
They're called CBS executives.
There are people that don't know when somebody is intending to be funny. I see intent.
I see a lot of guys who intend to be.
Oh, absolutely. No,
and aren't funny.
No. I'll break it down. Bombing is protected under. Where's the stars and stripes, Corey? I'm saluting. I'm standing right now to all those who have bombed. Play a little Star Spangled Banner for me, Corey. I want to talk about bombing. Your bombing is protected. Vote for Joel Fragamenti. Uh-huh. Your right to bomb will not be inferred. Will not be infringed in any way. You have the right to be not funny. It is protected by law. Corey, if this show is an example of one thing in the world, it's that we have the rights to fail at being funny. All right, let's move on.
That's very true.
All right. Because we're getting late in the show. Do you want to talk about, I saw a movie. Did you see a movie?
Well, I've seen a couple movies.
We've seen a couple movies. Anything new that people should know about?
Remember
the list I printed out?
By the way, we're almost in April, and you're right. The movies are terrible.
I told you that. I said, I don't think I went to the movies last night. I hadn't been since December. Now, granted, I saw all the Oscar stuff. I saw some of it at home. I streamed some of it and got screeners for other things. But I went to the theater and saw something called What We Do in the Shadows last night, which was very funny, I have to say. Very good review for this thing.
Okay.
Now, apparently, this thing screened at Sundance last spring. So this thing's been sitting around, and I think it opened in New Zealand because it's Jermaine Clement.
Well, if it opened in New Zealand,
well, but that's what I mean. It's not like a brand new hot movie, and I want to. It's Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi.
Right, who usually directs?
He usually directs, but he's actually they co-wrote.
Did he direct Eagle versus Shark?
Yes, and he created Eagle versus Shark with Jermaine Clement, and he's in this movie as well as the lead. Here's a picture of. Taika Waititi. I guess he'd been in stuff. I never really knew who he was as an actor. He hadn't done much. But
well,
that's,
he's kind
that's
of
him
like
right
the,
there.
What is the guy from Lonely Island?
He's the behind the scenes guy. Which I don't know. From
do you
Lonely
know what I'm
Island.
Talking about? There's three guys in Lonely Island, and there's Andy Samberg and the other two.
I wake up every day and I struggle to avoid Lonely Island. And now you bring this up. No, I don't
you're,
know.
You're, okay, you know what I'm
but,
saying.
But yeah, there's a third guy that's like the producer, right. And he had been done this a lot of this stuff. He had written some of the Flight of the Conchords. He'd written and directed a couple of those as well. And it's a mock documentary about vampires who share an apartment. And Jermaine is one of the vampires, and Taika is one of them. And then you even get. You even get your Rhys Darby showing up.
Sure.
He's the leader of the werewolves, and they're living in modern day Wellington, New Zealand.
You have now named all three funny New Zealanders in the history of New Zealand.
What about Brett? I haven't talked about
Brett.
Brett is not in this. So
Brett and Jermaine.
Brett is not in this from Flight of the Conchords.
Right. But that would be the sum total of. That's what.
There's funny guys in this. These guys.
I'm just saying.
Jonathan Brew and Corey Gonzalez Macau are funny too. I don't know who
they are.
But
they announced Trevor Noah.
Yes.
I said, let's take a moment and think about all the hilarious South African comics, because there's never been one. That you can, you know what I mean? There's no German comics.
They're
internationally famous.
Well, these guys are good, and I really, if you like Flight of the Conchords, it's really about that funny. It's every bit as good as that. It's real funny. It's gory. If you're a sci-fi or like a horror fan, you'll like this as well, because I kind of thought maybe this was they were going to like parody Twilight, and there is a little talk
about
Twilight. But they actually do the vampire stuff, and it is gory. It's the movie is not rated. At least that's what the theater said last night. It didn't have a rating. It doesn't appear to have a rating here. Because I think they might have had a hard time getting an R because of the gore in this.
Well, who knows what the rating is, New Zealand rating.
Well, I'm
system.
Sure there's an... But I'm saying in the U.S. it is not rated. And I wonder if they just decided not to submit it because... this it was going to open limited.
Do you know it costs like $38,000 to submit to the NBA? So this might have been a movie.
It might have been that they said, "Let's keep don't
the
bother, but
in our pockets because we're going to play art houses."
Yeah, but you know what? This movie is not really an art house comedy. Anyone would like this. This is very good. So, What We Do in the Shadows. It's nice. 85 minutes. It's a mock documentary.
I don't know if anybody would like this.
Well, if you like comedy,
my mom would not like
but
this.
But if you like comedy. Okay, but people, Flight of the Conchords came on, and nobody gave a shit.
Right.
And I liked it.
We
and
liked
then,
it from the beginning.
And then people went like, oh, this is great. And, you know, now all those people are famous, and they're in these other movies. This is right up there. So there you
go. All
you
can do is try to be as, when I said I hated James Corden,
yes.
I didn't feel I'd regret that decision.
Yeah.
I try to just make, you know what I mean? Okay, but you and I liked Flight of the Conchords immediately.
Yeah, for episode one, I liked
and,
it.
And. 5 years later, it doesn't seem like a bad idea.
No,
it seems still.
It
a
seems
good
like
show,
a classic
right?
comedy now. Yes.
When I was in the Critics Society here in Detroit, we had a choice between Carey Mulligan or the star of Precious, Gabourey Sidibe.
Yes.
For breakout star
for an award. Yes.
We have a breakout. We have a breakout category. Well. I told everybody. Carey Mulligan, Carey Mulligan, Carey Mulligan.
Yeah, well.
And they all went Gabourey Sidibe.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that.
Who had a fucking career?
Well, I know,
but all you can
that's
do is...
That's not why people
I'm
give
saying,
awards.
But
yeah,
I know, but all you can do is try to prognosticate and guess.
Yeah, the world doesn't work that way in terms of that.
My world works that way.
But things... What We Do in the Shadows is very funny, and again, it is gory. It is very cool. I could see like, if you're a fan of like the Ain't It Cool News crowd loving this... And I think fans of our show would like it. It's very good. I mean, it's not... believe me, when you say vampire comedy, I think of, you know, Scary Movie and the Wayans Brothers. And then you tell me it's these Flight of the Conchords
guys. What
about
Once Bitten with George Hamilton?
Well, first of all, we should all be as funny as Once Bitten as George Hamilton. But, or what about... What was the Jim Carrey?
The Jim Carrey one was also...
Jim, that was bad, too.
That was with...
you can look it up for people. But What We Do in the Shadows.
Before he got famous, Jim Carrey was in a movie where he
was
got bitten by Lauren Hutton,
yeah.
And he turned into a vampire. It was kind of like a Teen Wolf, but with a vampire.
Keep going. You're close.
That was Once Bitten.
What was James... Love at First Bite.
Love at First
was
Bite.
Was George Hamilton.
Shit.
There we go.
Sorry.
Oh.
All
Corey,
right.
can
I
you
buy up.
Our 80s vampire parodies we got wrong,
Sorry.
Corey?
Sorry, Once Bitten was the Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah,
James Carrey. All right.
James Corden. James Carrey. Jim Carrey.
At least he's James Harry Corden Carrey. And not Jimmy Corden.
Carrey
because that'll be a
Mulligan.
Fucking third Jimmy.
So that's real good. It's playing at art houses. I would imagine. And that might be streaming as well. I don't know if you can get that.
I'm sure it will be soon.
It will be soon. It's very funny, though. Go watch What We Do in the Shadows. It's a good time. And then over on HBO, I guess Going Clear, the Scientology documentary.
Yes.
Now, Corey read the book, or parts of the book. You haven't finished
I've read 75%
of the book.
It's a long book, but I've read most of it.
And the documentary was very good, I thought.
Yes.
I mean, look, I knew... Here's the problem with the documentary on some level for me. I knew that Scientologists were creeps. I did not need to be convinced by this.
Well,
and the movie.
This is how I felt about the Jinx.
Yeah,
my complaint about the Jinx was I knew the guy was guilty.
Well, yeah, but the
I didn't have any selling on
the
it.
The reason the Jinx worked is because you actually heard from his own lips,
right.
And it completely pays off in the end. And I think Going Clear pays off in the end because I thought the last hour, which was more about the contemporary leaders of Scientology, and of course Travolta and Cruz. And what they're all their shenanigans. I thought that was the most interesting part of this because you actually had current contemporary people who had just left the church talking about it. All the stuff about the history of L. Ron Hubbard, that's okay, but I feel like modern Scientology, because really Dianetics, as my knowledge of Dianetics before this documentary and even the examples that they gave in Dianetics, just sounded like a 60s fad self-help book.
Yes.
Which is really what it was.
The initial Dianetics was that.
Yeah.
And then it sold very, very well for a few years.
Yeah.
And then L. Ron Hubbard, who was a science fiction pulp writer who cranked out short stories. He was a very prolific writer.
Yeah.
And kind of a weirdo.
Yeah.
And hung out with like Aleister Crowley disciples and Jim Parsons. Anyway, he was into like Satanism.
Jim Parsons.
No, it was the guy, Jack Parsons was the guy's name. Was a Satanist. They talked about that in the movie.
The Big Bang.
Right.
Yeah, I know. But yeah,
sorry. They talked about that in the movie. Remember they showed the whole like
yeah.
crazy Satanist rituals
yeah,
and stuff.
Right.
Anyway, L. Ron Hubbard was a weirdo, but he was a science fiction writer, and he wrote a book of self help because when he was in the Navy, he got almost court martialed. And then he lied about it and claimed that he was a war hero.
Well, yeah.
And started burnishing his history.
He's full of shit. Yeah, he's a guy.
So anyway, Dianetics was a self-help manual book about self-actualization and cleansing your, the problems in your life.
Well,
and dealing with traumatic memories.
The traumatic memories stay with you for the rest of your life. And if you get rid of them, you can be completely clear.
Well, eventually he built a cosmology around that.
Yeah.
Which is that the tyrant Xenu of the Great Galactic Empire banished the dissidents or suppressive persons from his society who were trying to overthrow him to the planet Tegeac, which is now called Earth, like 800 million years ago. Forgive me if I'm getting some of this wrong.
No, I'm just fine.
That's the like background story of it, which everybody thinks. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's batshit crazy.
It's more ridiculous than Noah was swallowed by a whale.
And the problem with Scientology and the problem with the reason that, because to me what's offensive about Scientology is that the church itself is a racket, and the church itself is cult like in the way that they try to keep their belief. You know, look, the Catholic Church.
And how is that different from most?
No. Faith. Because you can walk out of the Catholic Church.
Right.
You can walk out.
That's funny. They actually do talk about that in the book.
I mean, you can walk out. That's the reason. That's the difference between a religion and a cult.
You choose to
believe certain things.
They talk to a former priest.
Yeah.
In this, and when in Scientology, they one attempt to keep you from leaving by all costs. If you're a member of the Sea Org, which is the church itself, because L. Ron Hubbard had a whole boating thing.
And that's very weird when you see people in naval.
Commodore
outfit.
Because he was hiding, because he got basically kicked out of the United States and then England, he spent a lot of years at sea.
Well, that's, if you see the movie The Master, that's roughly that period in L. Ron Hubbard's
life. And so he spent like 20 years at sea on a fleet of ships that he was trying to like outrun authorities from. And so the Scientology has a whole naval, the Commodore, and this whole naval sort of underline. There's a lot of weird things.
But my point is that I think people, when you explain Scientology or you read Dianetics and you go, okay, that might work for me. That might help me. And I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that. And I think people can believe what they want to believe. And if they want to believe about Thetans and how humans got to the Earth, if they want to believe that, I have no problem with that either. My problem with Scientology is the kidnapping, is cleaning out people's bank accounts, and all that stuff in the movie to me was the most interesting. You know, That's my problem.
Is out of his. Did you get any of that Tom Cruise footage? No. Did you find any of those clips?
No, I don't have any of those.
He's
clips.
He's out of his fucking.
But people can find those clips. Those things went viral years ago, he didn't want those. He does seem nuts. But again, you have to be nuts to believe in this stuff.
Well,
and
when you try to leave Scientology, they hit you with you sign a billion-year contract if you're over the clergy.
Yeah.
And by the way, only the top executives get really paychecks. Well, all the other regular members get like $50 a week.
But the part of how they try to keep you there is that when you do these sessions, these auditing sessions, they say that you must reveal all of your most intimate secrets to them. And then they hold those secrets against you as blackmail, so
now,
you don't leave the church.
This is where I felt in the movie, which I thought was very well done, although a little dry. And Alex Gibney, the director, that's kind of his style, is a very kind of clinical style.
I felt the hand of lawyers, and definitely in this movie.
Okay, more than in the book.
Yeah, more than in
the
book.
The book is more elaborate about things.
Sure.
And here's where I really felt the lawyers hit the wall.
Yeah.
In the book, they don't come out and say it directly, but a couple of the witnesses, like that woman Spanky, who was John Travolta's,
she was the liaison
for Travolta,
with the church,
his assistant. She says a couple of those people interviewed about Travolta. Travolta has never interviewed the book, but they say he never left because he was afraid of being outed.
Yes,
Now, they don't ever say John Travolta's gay strictly in the book. The author never says John Travolta's gay. They just say that people speculated that's why he didn't stay
there. In the movie, they never said either, but didn't they flash up like a National Enquirer that said Travolta's boyfriend?
In both the case of Tom Cruise and Travolta, they said they were worried that their sex lives would be exposed.
Yeah, their sex lives.
They never said they were
sex
gay.
Sex lives.
That's where I felt the lawyer.
Travolta led a perverted lifestyle that he didn't want exposed.
Yes.
Or something, or he led some. That felt a little.
That's where I felt the lawyer.
That felt a little lawyerly to me. And so that was not, you wanted to see someone just go balls to the wall and say, well, look, we knew about.
I wanted to see Travolta go balls to the wall on Tom Cruise.
So, yeah, who knows? And actually what was very interesting to me was the stuff about, the woman that they set up to be Tom Cruise's girlfriend. Because, I knew who she was from Homeland. She was mm-hmm. She was a pretty big role on one of the seasons of Homeland. And and I was pretty surprised by that, that she's, I guess she's been public about that,
they
right?
They also skipped Penelope Cruz.
Well, that's the accusation, because it was Penelope Cruz, her, and Modern Family. What's her name? Tits McGee from that.
Tits McGee? Sophia Vergara.
Sophia Vergara was in there, too, with Tom Cruise for a while. So, they went through, they had these. I said Tits McGee from Modern Family, by the way, I'm glad that you said that and not the youngest daughter. I'm glad that you went that way. Thank you very much for that. It was very
polite.
Because
I'm thinking Julie Bowen. Julie Bowen doesn't, they're nice. They're nice.
Come on. We all know it's Sophia Vergara.
They're B's, yes. Maybe C.
Not Ariel Winter, who I think is 15
right.
years old.
I'm just saying, I didn't. Julie Bowen, you don't think of the tits first off.
Yeah, I know.
All right. With Tom Cruise, they talked about Nicole Kidman, and that basically Nicole Kidman took him out of the faith for a
right.
long time.
And that timeline, I'm sorry I cut you off, but in that timeline, Tom Cruise never seemed crazy to anyone. In that, you know what I'm saying? In their timeline?
I think
when he got out of the church, he seemed fine, and then he went back,
Tom Cruise is a weird thing for me, because I kind of like him as an actor.
Sure.
Even though he has, real quirks, and he does the same things over and over again. But I tend to think he's been in some very good movies.
Edge of Tomorrow, his most recent movie, was great.
Yeah, he's been in some very good movies. When he does it like something like Jack Reacher, it's horrible, and you wonder what's going on.
But didn't you also feel like, especially in the 90s, and probably again in this period where, Nicole Kidman was around, didn't he just choose really great directors and really good scripts?
Mm-hmm.
And all those, he did. I mean, I know people didn't like Eyes Wide Shut, but Eyes Wide Shut was sort of the beginning of the end for him.
But it
in
was,
a sense.
Kubrick.
But he worked with Kubrick. He worked with Sidney Lumet. He worked with all these guys.
The Firm.
All those movies. People loved all those movies.
People forget The Firm. The Firm is great.
All the stuff I loved War of the Worlds.
Interestingly enough, Tom Cruise did a movie with Paul Thomas Anderson,
mm-hmm. which is great,
which might be Tom Cruise's best movie, the best movie he was ever in.
Magnolia is great.
And then, oddly enough, Paul Thomas Anderson went and made The Master,
which
is very explicitly
about
I mean,
L. Ron
they'll
Hubbard
claim here. It's not.
Yeah, they're saying
but it's. So. Okay, here's what I have to say about this. By the way, and I actually had a Facebook encounter with an actual Scientologist on somebody else's thread today. And he was like, all this stuff is lies in the movie. Mm-hmm. And my response to him was, Alfred A. Knopf published Going Clear.
Yeah.
HBO put on the documentary. The New Yorker published the original story.
Yeah.
All of those media outlets have massive, mm-hmm. they have staffs of lawyers. They have a legal department.
Yeah.
They have law firms.
Yeah.
Those lawyers are on staff to research and go, is this true? Can we prove this?
Yeah.
And that's why some of the stuff in the movie wasn't in there. But I'm just saying, did Paul Thomas Anderson get a big lawsuit, and was he proven to be libelous in court? No. You know why? Because it was fucking true.
Well, it's not just that. It was true. It was fictionalized. But, the thing with this is when you have all of those defectors, and you had essentially, the number two guy in Scientology?
Yes.
That is out and is now dismissing the church.
And Paul Haggis.
And Paul Haggis, who was, big. And the other thing, did they say? Now, I don't know if I took this the wrong way in the movie, that the active participants in the Church of Scientology in the United States is only 50,000 people?
Yes.
That seems tiny.
It does.
That seems like, what the hell are we all upset about?
But here's the difference between, Catholicism in Scientology are kind of inverted, in that the Catholics have a billion people.
Yeah.
And they generate $8 billion a year in revenues. But that's because they're taking a little bit of money from every poor person yeah. in the Philippines. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the people who give to Catholic charities, there are rich people that do.
Yeah.
But mostly it is that all the membership of Catholicism gives money.
Yeah.
Scientology goes, let's get some big fish and bleed them dry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they kind
of
invert
it. But isn't it... But wasn't it like Tom Cruise was... essentially living in
yes
like the house like there's a center that Tom Cruise was living at that was you know essentially built with his money
right
and he got to live there and you know
but so I think these big movie stars and that's probably why Travolta has to go out there and do Look Who's Talking Again
yeah maybe
all these bad movies
yeah
is they're bleeding and Paul Haggis said yeah. that they would just keep asking for more and more money and yeah. he eventually just kept paying it yeah. so they would stop bothering him.
Jeez.
And it's like they get on a treadmill of
well,
producing money.
I mean, look, if anything, look, whatever your opinion on Scientology is, this movie can only help the cause. Even if you like Scientology, this movie can only be good if it's exposing the flaws in your church.
Okay.
When people talked about, you know, priests raping little boys and Catholics got all outraged, I think what we've learned in time, that was probably a good thing for the Catholic Church to have to go through that crisis. So that behavior would stop. And if the Scientologists stop what they're doing, I wouldn't really have a problem with them. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah. You know, people have beliefs and they have faith and whatever. But this is clearly charlatanism.
Okay.
And they're clearly up to some bad practices.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it was just a crazy belief system that celebrities yeah. are involved in. But it seems like they're actually hurting people's lives.
Right. Let me try, you know what I mean? Let me try to narrow this down.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about, we'll talk about Scientologists. And who else should we add? I'm going to add the Jews.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to add the Catholics.
Yeah.
Well, Buddhists. We'll sure. add the Buddhists.
Sure.
Hindus. Let's put them in there.
Uh-huh.
And I guess you got to have Muslims. You can't talk about any about Muslims. Right, right. I'm going to throw them in. Right. I don't know if I've missed anybody. But if you're part of one of those groups, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're all fucking idiots.
Yeah.
None of it's true. You're all believing in a fucking... It's all a bunch of bullshit.
It's not just... And for me...
And you're free... And everybody is free to believe in whatever bullshit
right.
you
now,
want.
Now, I know...
But it's all bullshit.
I know that you very vehemently...
Let's call bullshit bullshit and go on from
I
there.
Understand. I know you very vehemently advocated for freedom of expression and freedom of speech.
Yes.
And religion falls under that category.
Absolutely.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
But to me, it goes a little further. To me, people were always like, well, why do you hate religions? Why are you against this? You're an atheist. Shouldn't you just let people be? I would, except that they go too far.
Well,
whenever there's an organization, and the big deal in the Scientology documentary is that they harassed the IRS
sure.
and threatened lawsuits
yeah.
and personal lawsuits against mm-hmm. members. Now, the guys who caved, fuck them.
No, those guys that caved, they fucked shit up.
The yeah. IRS executives... That or the top people in the yeah. IRS that caved and let these fucking savages loose. This David Miscavige is a garbage.
But aren't there cases that could reverse their IRS standing? Like that's not a permanent
no. The
thing.
IRS
that
can change
that can,
their
yeah,
shit
they can, yeah
the
they can change it up. So
it's like an agreement.
Yeah.
The IRS made an agreement with them.
Yes, that they would be considered a
now it is almost like what
tax
exempt
religion.
Like what those idiot senators. Wrote the letter to Iran.
Yeah.
Like, we'll change this if yeah. you step out of line.
Right.
The IRS at any moment could come in and go, let's take a look at this status again.
Well, yeah, my feeling on religion is everyone's free to believe whatever the hell you want to believe.
Uh-huh.
But I'm against bad acts. And, you know, religion can do bad acts. You know, countries can do bad acts. I don't think, you know, and I think if you look at the history of our country, even in my lifetime, you know, are Russians evil? Probably not really. You know what I mean? Like, Russians aren't evil people.
Does the Russian government have a history of democracy?
They had a government that was doing
civil rights? No.
Bad things. The Nazis were doing bad things. The Germans were good people. I mean, the Germans are good people. I mean, we know that about Germany. You've been to Germany. Those are
sure.
good people. You know, you can't sit there and go, like, you know, mm-hmm. there are people that do bad acts. And
yeah, but,
you know,
but it's more than that. And this what's the most interesting about this book. And the movie to a little bit of a less. The movie was more like, kind of like, look at these freaks. We got them.
Yeah.
The movie is, which is kind of Alex Gibney's thing. He did Enron.
Yeah.
He's got a very outragey tone. Uh-huh. He's very severe and dark with his filmmaking?
Well, he's arguing a point. He's an advocate.
Yeah,
he's an advocate. Right. Yeah.
But
he's advocating a position.
Anyway, I think it's really worth seeing the movie.
No, absolutely. Going Clear, very good on HBO. HBO's on a hot streak with the Jinx. We talked about the Jinx, but that was fantastic. Girls season 4 just wrapped up, and look,
a little bit of a better season.
People, that's what I'm going to say. One of the great moments of the show for me was when you and I, without any commiseration, both chose season 1 of Girls as the best show on television. Because it surprised me, because I didn't even know you liked the fucking thing.
Sure.
And I don't think we'd ever talked about it on the show even to a certain point.
We didn't talk about it anywhere.
And we just suddenly went like, oh, Girls was great. And then I publicly said that Girls season 2 was a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Girls season 3 wasn't great. I thought this was, I don't know if a return to form, that would mean it was as good as season 1, which it wasn't. But this was a perfectly watchable, funny, entertaining,
better
season of television that I enjoyed. So good on them for Girls. I enjoyed that. You know, it's obviously, you know, the problem with it is that, you know, Togetherness, which was on after, it was a better show. And I think something like Transparent on Amazon was a better comedy, mm-hmm. drama half hour than Girls. So it's
Togetherness was the best HBO show in a long time.
Yeah, it was great. And
I liked the comeback, but not as much as they did the first time.
Okay, see, I never saw the comeback. But
the comeback was a little better the first time.
Okay.
It was not bad.
You know,
and
we've seen Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which you've now seen, is not that
great.
I
have now seen Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes.
And I get all your complaints about
yes.
it. I've laughed a few times on the show.
Yeah, I laugh, but you know, hey man,
my big objection to it is that they got Kristen, they got the same girl doing the same part, basically.
Right? Yeah, and Jane Krakowski.
Jane Krakowski is basically doing
the same part. But you know, I laughed. I watched 2 Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidts.
Mm-hmm.
I probably laughed 3 times during each one. But when you have 30 jokes, you should have 30 laughs.
Right.
You know, I teach this comedy class, and I told them, you know, I go, look.
Well, those who can't.
Exactly. But my point was, you know, if you want to be considered a good comedian, because, you know, in comedy, when you talk about stand-up and you talk about, you know, guys who try to move up the rung, they try to go from being MCs to mm-hmm. features to headliners to superstars. Everybody looks at it as, well, the MC does 10 minutes, the feature does this and does that. But when you go to a show and you see the MC and the MC sucks, and the middle's a little bit better, and the headliner's fantastic.
MC Sucks. Didn't he put on a rap album?
MC Sucks. Well, Harry Arden, I believe, yeah. I think is the guy who plays MC Sucks. But here's the point. that joke aside, remember how I said jokes got to work? Maybe we tag team a bomb there together. That's fine. But I told them, I said, listen, hey, the MC, if you want to be a good comic, every joke should work. And the MC does 15 minutes, and the feature does 30, but all of their jokes should work. And that's mm-hmm. the goal of being a comedian, is having every joke working. And the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, every joke doesn't work.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with it. And I'm not saying every joke on Girls worked, but you know what? Hey, Girls has fewer jokes, but more laughs. You know? Togetherness had very few jokes, but was more situationally funny. But I laughed at that.
I didn't even so much laugh at Togetherness that much, but I did enjoy the characters,
sure.
and I enjoyed,
right.
I was involved.
And
in
Girls, when it's good, makes you care about those characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when Girls sucks, you go, I don't really give a shit about these people.
Right, well, they're awful people.
And you didn't, and you know what?
The
and,
people on
and
Girls
when, And when Hannah was in Iowa, it wasn't very good, and she came back, and it got better, and this show would be good, and I know they're making more, so I think it's a return of form to Girls, and I think that's a good thing. So I am on record again as liking Girls.
Oh,
that
right.
sounds completely wrong, by the
That's
way.
That's the title of this show.
What is it? Joel Likes Girls?
Yeah,
is that
I'm on record as liking Girls.
I'm on liking Girls.
Well, that's, I
like,
think
I'm on record of liking Girls again.
I think we've...
There was a period when I didn't like Girls. I was a Scientologist. I didn't like Girls.
Joel had his latency period.
I was hanging out with Travolta, and I didn't like Girls.
Joel had his... He was 39 years old when he had his latency period. All right, I think we've said it all.
I think we've definitely said it all. I think the only thing left to say is good night and God bless and no God bless. That's stupid. No, you can God bless.
God protect from Xenu.
Protect me from Xenu.
I hope you reach OT7.
I hope you will. I know that. I know there is a Thetan inside you, Corey. And I know that there.
I don't know. Baiting for a Thetan. That's our new, that's our title for this show. All right. Oh, okay.
Let's get out of here.
John Travolta's had a couple Thetans inside him. I can tell you that
something
much.
In him. I don't know what he's had, but we want to thank you guys for listening. Once again, go to joelradio.net. Leave your comments up there. You can always do that. If you want to donate via PayPal, give us a couple of bucks. We always need new equipment. I got a new PC, Corey. That costs a lot of money.
That's right.
And we always need new stuff. If you can donate to the show, that always helps us out. We
like the Facebook page. Share the updates.
Share the updates. Share
spread
the
gospel.
We will be watching. We watch James Corden, so you don't have to. Joel Radio.
Adjust your e-meters. Try to get clear.
Now, if James Corden was a Scientologist,
he'd be a suppressive person. He'd be an SP.
You are the suppressive person, Corey. Don't you understand that? We must cut you out of our lives.
Just watch that, Tom.
We can achieve comedy clarity.
The dickiest thing in the history of the world is that Tom Cruise 40th birthday party on the yacht. Right? That is the dickiest group of assholes.
When he sings old-time rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. And they're all clapping, and they're all wearing tight muscle t-shirts going, it's all about you, buddy. You're the number one guy.
There is a lot of
grinning.
There is a lot of self-tanning involved in being a Scientologist, apparently, right?
It's a lot of time in the gym.
It's a lot of
very fruity,
a lot of weird, weird stuff going on. I don't know. Unlike us,
no,
you can tell we believe in nothing. We're fat and ugly,
fat lumpen proletariat.
We're fat, ugly, and unsuccessful, and that's why we're real.
There's the title of the show. All right, good night.
Good night.